mainly in key positions is pedophiles. You're saying, okay, you're taking this out of context. You know, government loves us. Where do you think the pedophiles go? Because let's admit it, the UN kills hundreds of thousands of kids every year. You know, they get caught all the time. You know, there's 3,500, nothing compared to them. And there's slave brothels and the slave centers and the 1.2 million women they're kidnapping and shipping out of Eastern Europe and Central Europe. And that's mainstream news. I'm sure you might have heard about that. This is all giant UN slave brothels. They've got slave liner ships. That's been in the news. And you don't believe me? Fine. Okay, don't check it out. This is all documented. I don't care how horrible it sounds. It's all documented. I've covered it all here 100 times. We're now hearing about 700 missing in Georgia, thousands missing in California. And the government, no one's held accountable. Okay, we don't know where the kids are. We took them from homes. We don't know where they are. And then I predicted, and rightfully so, there'd be a lot of news articles in Florida. Well, they found some of the kids. And I thought they'd say we found 2,000 of them or something. No, we found 5 of them. And when I get up here and say that pedophile rings are one of the biggest cults or guilds running Washington, that's just what the facts always show. Coming up in the second hour, former state senator John DeCamp, who did write about the connections to Penn State and child abuse in the 90s. I had forgotten that he talked about this. Then I saw a Red Dirt report a few days ago with quotes where he'd been talking about it years ago. Just amazing, the massive child abuse network ring at the highest levels of the Republican Party. He was hired as a big Republican in the state of Nebraska to go basically investigate it and cover it up. I mean, they didn't say, hey, it's real, go cover it up. It was, hey, this is a bunch of bull, Senator DeCamp, go prove it's bull. And so the police investigator he hired, the detective, well-known detective, he and his son's plane was blown up when flying to Chicago to investigate. And the rest, there were indictments, there were convictions. The feds swooped in and covered it all up. So you know about the Catholic Church, know about Penn State. I mean, what about the Texas Youth Commission? All the major youth facilities with gladiatorial fighting, the jail guards selling even, 10-year-old children out in the juvenile correctional facilities to police and judges and people coming in and other wealthy who are part of the pervert club, part of the demon club, to have their way with children all over Texas. The Texas Rangers found out and tried to stop it. They got told to back off. The head of the DPS refused to kill the investigation. He was just removed. So the pedophiles rule Texas as well. So they call the shots. And they're everywhere. They like to get into government control because it's the only place they can operate with basically diplomatic immunity like the UN. During 16 years in office, a former state senator, John DeCamp, was cited even by his enemies at the World Herald as one of the most effective legislators in Nebraska history. A highly decorated Vietnam War veteran in 1975, he initiated Operation Baby Lift, which evacuated 2,800 orphan Vietnamese children. He is currently a practicing attorney in Lincoln, Nebraska. He served as a lawyer for the militia of Montana, a constitutional militia group in the 90s. DeCamp has also been lead perspective on Conspiracy of Silence, an unaired documentary on the Franklin child abuse. Well, we aired it. We got it and aired it locally on Access 15 years ago, and it since went viral online. That's where that people always say, have you seen this? Yeah, I've seen it. I'm the one that put it out. He joins us now, and here's the Red Dirt report. And when I saw this weekend, it punched me. I was like, I remember him saying that. But since it hadn't been in court in the news, I'm like, let's not go there, Senator. But I remember him getting into Boys Town before that all came out, the Catholic Church. I remember him getting into Penn State. And I remember him saying on air more than 10 years ago that the football program, and I'm like, and I know he's credible, but I'm like, okay, Senator, let's just stop. Folks, by the way, have dug those interviews up now. I'm like, let's just stop right there and just get into what was proven in court. Because people went to jail in Nebraska. He was hired as a big Republican because, you know, to go in and disprove it. They're like, oh, this couldn't be true, Senator. You go disprove it. When his investigator, a police officer, and his son got murdered, the senator started to look closer. So he's going to recap all that. So he was hired as a prominent Republican and a senator to go in there as damage control because, you know, he didn't believe it was real and found out it was all real and more. I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. It is Thursday, February 19th, 2026. See, I got the date right here early on. And we have breaking news out of the UK. But of course, it's Epstein news. Prince Andrew has been arrested and held in custody on his birthday after dramatic police raid on his home at St. Graham amid probe into Epstein files. There it is on the Drudge Report. He's arrested on his birthday. That is truly amazing. It's his 66th birthday. Thames Valley Police held the eighth in line to the British throne on suspicion of misconduct in public office this morning. Plainclothes officers and six unmarked vehicles arrived at Wood Farm, where Andrew now lives, at 8 a.m. this morning. The convoy included at least two Royal Land Rovers linked to Andrew. And he was photographed leaving the estate less than an hour later. His arrest was confirmed at 10:08. For the past 10 days, detectives have been probing his conduct as a trade envoy for the UK after the emails in Epstein files suggest he shared confidential information with his pedophile, or as they say, pedophile friend, including reports of his official visits and potential investment opportunities. So this goes back to what we've been telling you. The sexual abuse and the trafficking was sort of secondary to the whole Epstein operation. Here he's trafficking in information, UK secrets. You can see in the emails he was, he knew about Libya, how they were going to overthrow Gaddafi before it even happened. So he was an information broker. And then on top of that, working with these scientists to go after, whatever he was doing with the genetic bloodlines and, that was all part of it too. So, well, we're not getting Prince Andrew on sex trafficking. No. It's selling secrets and giving secrets to Jeffrey Epstein. So guys, if y'all see anything else on that, we've probably had about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in England. So, he remains in custody at this time, but they haven't confirmed where he's been taken. So he was the former Duke of York. They've taken away his title, and now his name is Monbatten. There he is. Prince Andrew is finally seeing a little bit of justice. And even Prince Charles came out and said, look, we got to let everything take its course. And, so he's, backing this, obviously. He can't stop what's coming. That's the problem. There's just too much. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, 66th birthday. Happy birthday, Prince Andrew. This is what you get for hanging out with scum. And so we've got a couple interesting things. I'm trying to figure out which way to go in this from here. Let's get into Tucker because we're sort of into the UK now. Let's go international. Tucker was detained, I believe, yesterday or the day before in Israel. He was flying through. He'd done an interview with Mike Huckabee, and they detained him for a while. I was actually in the room when Alex was talking to Tucker's producers yesterday, and we shot a live video, which we'll go to in a second. But let's go just to Tucker on the Epstein files. This is sort of just a general primer of Tucker, just clip one, talking. I don't even know who he's talking to in this. I just grabbed this because I wanted something of Tucker talking about Epstein to bring into this. So we're going to watch this together. Here it is.
He knew everybody.
Yeah.
And in every country. And he's weighing in on every event of the moment that he's living in. So, like, he's shorting the global financial crisis. He's discussing the fall of Gaddafi in Libya before it happens and trying to figure out how to profit from that.
Totally plugged in.
Like, at a level that, you know, as someone who just, like, covers government, I feel like I know plugged in people. Never met anyone that plugged in.
Yeah.
So what is this? He represents no government. He clearly works for Mossad. He clearly works for CIA. He clearly is in contact with both and clearly British intelligence. So he's not working for Israel. He's not working for the United States. He's not working for the UK exclusively. He's not working for anybody, really. He's kind of this independent power broker working with a series of other independent power brokers together who form some kind of supra government above all representative government in the West. That's the clear, you know, so like, what is that?
Yeah. Do you think we'll see arrests?
Well, it's been almost 20 years that some of this material has been in the custody of governments. Most of it is still hidden and there have been no arrests. Instead, there's been a consistent over decades effort to shield the people exposed from arrest. So no, I mean, there may be performative arrests, but the big question is not, was there blackmail? Yes. Was there sex with minors? Of course. Was there some kind of weird religious practice that we would describe as witchcraft? Oh yeah.
Mm.
But the bigger question is like, what was this? It's clearly an informal governance body over what the rest of us consider the authorities, which is to say governments, nation states.
So that was actually Tucker Carlson being interviewed. That's why I was like, who is he talking to? I didn't recognize that reporter, but you know, laying out Epstein was a broker of information. And so he's in Israel interviewing Mike Huckabee. He had a sit down. The former Fox News host flew to Tel Aviv for a sit down interview with Mike Huckabee, who challenged Carlson to speak to him directly following an online spat about the country's treatment of Christians. Carlson, who frequently criticizes Israel for its military actions in Gaza, took Huckabee up on his offer. So then afterwards, he's about to leave. So they took his passports. He said it was bizarre, but they're out of the country. And actually, Alex Jones talked to his producer yesterday, and then we filed a live X report. Guys, the X, what's interesting, when you download a live X, it comes in horizontal because we shoot everything vertically like normal people should. I don't know about this vertical video stuff these kids do these days, but, you know, whatever. But anyway, it turned it vertical. I flipped it. I don't know if it's flipped or not, but be ready. You might have to flip it. But here's Alex. This was a live broadcast that we did yesterday talking about him talking to the producers and kind of what he had gathered from this detainment. Daily Mail, in all caps, used the word detained. And they, Tucker's people, were kind of trying to downplay that. They're like, it wasn't that bad. You know, they just, it's like, oh, we don't know who Tucker Carlson is. Yeah, okay. So this is what governments do, though. When you say stuff you don't like, they have the power to come in and sort of make your life miserable using the government apparatus. So here's Alex Jones talking about it, and then we'll see what Mike Huckabee had to say about the detainment. Here it is. Here's Alex.
It has been reported, it's a big top story, that Israel detained Tucker Carlson trying to leave after his interview with Ambassador Mike Huckabee. So I thought, I'm not going to move the Daily Mail because they lie so much. I'm going to call Tucker Carlson's crew. He didn't answer. I talked to his crew, I'll leave it at that. And they said, yeah, after the Huckabee thing, reportedly it's going to be pretty spicy. They got him to the airport, grabbed him in his passport, interrogated him. And that's basically it. So the quote of the Daily Mail is real. That did happen. And I just want to say something. Like, here's the deal. Israel, you're the most unpopular country in the world right now, okay? You used to be seen as the underdog. Everybody's turning against you. I'm not with the Islamists, but I'm also not with what you're doing. Tucker is beloved. You may live in your own echo chamber and, you know, demonize him because he isn't for war with Iran or whatever.
But this was a major league stupid move. You all know who he is. They knew who he was. They pulled him out. They pulled his passport. And Tucker's not trying to make a big deal about it. Like, come on. Well, yeah, they did do it. But, you know, let's just move on. So Tucker's people, and Tucker doesn't want to make a big deal about this. Well, I can't help it. I'm going to make a big deal about it. Because, I mean, Huckabee is a piece of work, man. The guy should not be the ambassador to Israel. It's okay if you're pro-Israel, be the ambassador. He is Israel, not first, Israel only. We say we're America only. He's Israel only. And it's whatever Netanyahu wants only. So I wonder what they got on him. And again, everybody knows I don't have some hard on for Israel. I don't think Israel is the root of all evil and has all, you know, I mean, I had huge guests on, Kathy O'Brien, MK Ultra, sex slave on, confirmed. And a caller calls and says, why aren't you covering Israel? We cover Les Wexner, the billionaire Israeli operative, saying he's demon-possessed and he's now the co-conspirator and all that. We cover all that. We don't have to, like, always make Israel part of it. You know, there's other stuff going on. But Israel continues with chutzpah to act like this, and it's really, really, really stupid. They're trying to pressure Trump to go to war. I was a few months ago in Maine with Tucker, but even before that, earlier last year, they were trying to go to war the first time, and he had Netanyahu people calling up, you know, yelling at him. It's like, we're allowed to be anti-war. Tucker's apologized for being pro-war before. He's anti-war now. I mean, I get why we kind of went into Venezuela. I said, I don't overall support him, but I get what Trump's doing. Tucker's not even at that point. So, what does Israel think this is going to do? But again, that's that disconnection that's living in your own little bubble. And that's what's wrong. So, I don't support Hamas to the mountains of the sea and all that stuff, but I also don't support Israel lobby trying to ban the First Amendment to stop anti-Israel talk. The ADL and all the rest of it in Europe. So, it's a big problem. Israel, please, your leadership, stop making yourselves the villain. What do you think detaining Tucker and bragging him and interrogating him and getting in his face and taking his passport away? Do you think that scares people so they don't talk bad about you now? I mean, you're acting like five-year-olds. You know, they say that who the gods would destroy, they first make mad. And I don't want Israel destroyed. And all the idiots want to destroy it. They have nuclear weapons. It's not going to happen. But at the same time, if America's going to fall us from within, if Israel's going to fall us from within, if Europe's going to fall us from within, any of these countries, and we are falling from within with psychotic, crazy, dumbass leaders, leave our journalists alone. To the EU trying to sue and criminally charge Elon Musk. It's like, it's crazy. But these tyrants, again, are in their own bubble. So, yes, Tucker did get grabbed. They did interrogate him. They did take his passport. They tried to basically intimidate him. I just like, oh, now Tucker's going to put his tail between his legs and kiss Netanyahu's ass and Ambassador Huckabee, Mr. Christian Zionist, and all of his just over the, I mean, if he worshipped America like that, it'd be a little weird. But, I mean, he just, not against Israel, but don't worship Israel. And the state of Israel is not the biblical people of Israel. And all these fake quotes by Ted Cruz and stuff about if you don't worship Israel, you go to hell. It's just not true, folks. I love America. I don't worship our government. I don't like the communist Chinese government. I'm not against the Chinese people. I'm not against the Jews, but I don't like what the Israeli leadership's doing. I don't support the Rothschilds and Ehud Barak, who are running the operation trying to overthrow Netanyahu. Doesn't mean I support Netanyahu. If people want to vote him out, that's fine. But my point is I know the different factions here. And people need to learn the factions. But the attempts to say Netanyahu is involved with Epstein, it's actually true when Netanyahu says I'm not. It's the whole leftist Rothschild arm that's doing it, and the Supreme Court. So I know the players here. So this is the dumbest move. I mean, maybe Netanyahu's not behind it. Maybe the opposition to Netanyahu did this, because this is a bad move, folks. You have idiots saying, oh, great, put Tucker in prison. He works for Qatar, no evidence of that. Or Tucker's great, blow up Israel. We don't know everything. Tucker's people don't know either. They just know that overall the story's true. And the statement's true out of the Daily Mail. So that's it. Find me at Real Alex Jones on X, on Rumble, the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com/show. Thank you all for everything out there. Just keep spreading the word. We had a powerful broadcast today with Les Wexner, Satan's demon possessed and serves demons to tell him what to do. Here's the name of the demon he is possessed by that runs him. Kind of a big deal. You might want to look into that. Epstein's email was called Baal, human sacrifice demon. I mean, I'm just reporting. And if the Chinese are doing that, I'll report on it. Or if Americans are, or Christians are, or the Catholic Church is doing that stuff, come on. We just cover the facts, folks, he calls balls and strikes. Thank you so much. I'll follow you next. We're all Jones, and God bless. But Tucker's safe. He's out. He's left.
Yeah, pro tip for Alex Jones. When the camera starts moving away, it's time to stop talking. Nah, just messing with him. And actually, the reason I'm sitting in here today is Alex is taking a couple days off. And Brianna Morello will be doing the Alex Jones show today. And then at 3 p.m., we have the War Room with Harrison Smith. So that's that. But we do have an update on this detainment, which this is the Daily Mail posting this as an exclusive. They said, oh, he's been detained. We called Tucker's people. They were like, it's not really that big a deal. Don't worry about it. Well, and now there's all kinds of updates. Etienne Fishberger says the Daily Mail story was just updated with a statement from the U.S. Embassy in Israel confirming that Tucker's allegations are complete nonsense. I'm not sure Tucker made the allegations. It seemed like the Daily Mail was making these, but a spokesman for the U.S. Embassy in Israel denied that Carlson was detained and claimed he received the same passport control questions that countless visitors to Israel, including Ambassador Huckabee and other diplomats, receive as part of a normal entrance and exit from Israel. Oh, that's normal. You have to answer questions and they take your passport. It is not accurate that Israel was only going to let Tucker into the country for the interview, the spokesman added. The only engagement the embassy had with Israel was about his visit to coordinate his private plane landing as part of facilitating a seamless visit. It was Tucker who chose to only come into the country for a few hours and depart, and Tucker received the same positive treatment of any visitors to Israel, which is interesting because, you know, you'd think it was a crime to ask people questions and have like a normal border situation. And here's Mike Huckabee said, thanks to E. Fishberger for more inaccurate report. Everyone who comes in and out of Israel, every country for that matter, has passports checked and routinely asked security questions. Even me going in and out with diplomatic passport and diplomatic visas. Yeah, so they don't even treat Huckabee with any specialty. Laura Loomer claims that, and I'm finding all this just now as I was looking for Huckabee's statement. And she claims, turn out the author of the Daily this just is funny. Turns out the author of the Daily Mail story about Tucker Carlson getting detained in Israel today was a lie. Is Philip Nito, who used to work for Tucker Carlson. Tucker planted the story with his former employee and made up a lie about how the White House wanted him to do this debate with Governor Mike Huckabee about Israel ahead of the midterms. That is a complete lie. The White House didn't ask Tucker to do anything. This is very unethical behavior by Daily Mail. White House should address the record whether or not Tucker Carlson, the biggest anti-Semite on the right, is making this up. We all know he is, but it would be great for the White House press team to confirm. Tucker is now going to use his former employees to post lies about Israel. Uh-oh, I just went, no. I hit a button. I love these phones. Well, you touch them or you breathe the wrong way and it disappears forever and you can't ever go back to it. So we're never going to find out what Laura Loomer said. You'll have to go online to X and find it yourself. I hate technology. It's so lame sometimes.
Oh, you picked it up wrong.
Yeah, let's see. And I was pretty much done with it. Keep going. Stepping in. Yeah. You know, he should be banned from stepping foot inside the White House ever again. That was her last statement. That's the part I wanted to read. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, Laura Loomer wants to set policy for Tucker. You know, they were downplaying it. The Daily Mail ran with that headline. It's interesting to see what happened. It'll be interesting to see this interview he did with Mike Huckabee. So that'll all be coming out, and we will, we'll find out more about that. So, you know what we have? And we'll pick up Epstein on the other half of this. We're sort of perforating around Epstein, but this is Michael Wolff, and he's being interviewed. And It's a short clip, but I think this kind of says everything. You know, we had Ted Lieu and everybody saying, oh, he's a confirmed pedophile. You could see it in the documents when they're reading these things that people were putting in after Trump was, or when Biden was in office, really, these tip lines that people were calling into. And hey, if it comes out, release the other 3.5 million files you have and let's see what you got. But haven't seen anything yet, but, other than Ted Lieu and others lying about what they're, what's in there. And that's what they want to do. But here's Michael Wolff talking about, and he has hours and hundreds of hours of Epstein interviews that he did with him. And we saw his interview about the massages where he said, oh no, Trump didn't participate in any massages. But here he is being interviewed about, Trump in the Epstein files.
Is it possible that the release of the Epstein files turns out to be good for Trump?
Yeah, I think already it has.
Already it has. I mean, that's, and this is the guy that hated Trump and wanted to, was literally trying to dig up dirt on him with Epstein. And, it didn't happen. So actually, and when we come back from the other side of the break, you know, the first 5 minutes we played, parts of this is a long video. We played a part of it. For decades, Alex Jones has exposed the satanic pedophile cults that run the world. It's got over 300,000 views now on Bandai Video. It's been up since the 16th. Pretty big deal, I think. I think I'm going to have to upload this to X when I get off the air, to Alex's X channel, because this is something, you know, it's got some Epstein in it. It's got some other people. He talks about John DeCamp and the Franklin cover up, who he interviewed numerous times, and even talks about how DeCamp's talking about stuff at Penn State. And he's like, well, I got to take you off the air. You can't say this. And then years later we get, you know, Jerry Sandusky pimping young boys to rich donors. I think that's literally the headline that was out there. So let's see. Let's go to, well, so we're going to play that after the break, but let's go to this. This is Jeffrey Jackson talking about Bill Gates and his Jeffrey Epstein problem. So let's go to that as we go to break. That is clip 4.
So Bill Gates essentially represents the integrity of the vaccination program. You can't think of a vaccine without thinking about this guy. Well, Bill Gates has a little problem. That problem started in 2008 with a gentleman named Jeffrey Epstein, because Bill Gates has chosen to use Jeffrey Epstein over the past decade as a close confidant and business partner. And we're going to start in 2011 with these internal emails that were just released. This is Jess Stanley. Jess Stanley is the head investment banker at J.P. Morgan at the time. And his assistant says this to Jeffrey Epstein. Hi, Jeffrey. Jess Staley asked me to pass along these questions from the J.P. Morgan team that is putting together some ideas for Gates. Jeffrey Epstein replies. He says, a donor advised fund. We could tie it initially just to the Gates program. Minimum gift, $100 million. Done right, it's $100 billion in 2 years. Think about that. 2 years, $100 billion. But then the next line. The tension is making money from a charitable organization. Therefore, the money-making part needs to be at arm's length. So he's telling a J.P. Morgan banker, look, I can make you $100 billion in 2 years, but it's going to be under a charitable organization, the Gates Foundation, who I'm apparently speaking on behalf, and we're going to have to keep it outside of that whole charitable thing, because that's going to look really bad for us, because we're supposed to be helping the world with vaccines.
$100 billion. Interesting. That's what they were doing. They were planning the pandemic. They were trying to figure out how they could profit on pandemics. All that's coming out in the email. So very interesting information, and it keeps coming out. People keep finding more stuff because they keep digging. We'll be right back. You're watching The American Journal.
Well, way out west, southwest, down in Texas, there's this fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of Alex Jones. At least that was the handle his freedom-loving parents gave him, and he made pretty good use of it himself. This Alex Jones, well, he's a straight shooter. He calls himself an info warrior, a globalist killer, even a goblin slayer. He's a truth bomber, dropping nukes of knowledge across radio waves, television sets, and all over the World Wide Web. Many have tried to stop him, shut him up, or silence him, but it never quite worked out. Not for a man like him.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
He's a real Paul Revere of the 21st century. A truth teller. Hell, even more honest than old honest Abe Lincoln. That's Alex Jones.
This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
There's a lot about the man that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Not until I tuned into InfoWars, that is. Then things started to become clear.
Are you going to find these guys? Or, you have any promising, leads?
Leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab. They got four more detectives working on the case. They got us working in shifts! Leads.
Now, this story that's about to unfold, well, it started back just about the time the Twin Towers in Building 7 collapsed.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
I only mention it because, well, sometimes there's a man. I won't say hero because what's a hero? But sometimes there's a man. And I'm talking about Alex Jones here. Sometimes there's a man. Well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's... ah, hell. I've done introduced him enough.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murdering scum that run giant death factories, keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green-looking skin, or they're black or white, doesn't matter.
Sing along.
And they run around screaming, we love Satan, we want to eat babies. I have them on video at the Texas State House, just women randomly going, hail Satan, and just praising Satan. When a Democrat group went up there. I mean, folks, this is literally like a demonic invasion. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Or Epstein, who is at the center of the pedophile island. I don't cover modern slavery to lessen the horrible transatlantic slave trade that killed millions of people, tens of millions of people, enslaved hundreds of millions in the aggregate, or the Arab slave trade that was even bigger, or the Roman slave trade, or the Chinese slave trade. I mean, every culture's done it. Doesn't mean it's good. We as a culture said, this is a bad contract. We don't like this. We're not doing this. But the type of slavery now is kids and women of every race, color, and creed, and the most disadvantaged, you know, people that are also grabbed out of countries and taken to islands. As slave labor, Foxconn factories, Apple, the suicide nets. I mean, this is bigger than it was at the peak of slavery here in 1800. And every historian, you know, admits that. So we're so busy trying to ban the word lynch because it scares folks, the Irish name and brown paper bags, that we're not focusing in on this. I've got two daughters that are young and a son. And, you know, that's why I won't let them on the internet by themselves.
is because there are these predators posing in there. And I've seen, just reading the news every day for years, a pattern where it's almost always local cops, not that they're perfect, but on average less corrupt, they're actually busting the pedophiles. And so many times it's national deputy directors of Homeland Security, top FBI. And from my research, there's almost like pedophile clubs that are taking over government, just like the Catholic Church, to protect themselves and operate. And that's why they're trying to federalize local police so that they can't bust up these networks. You may, as a viewer or listener of the show, already know all this, but other folks don't. They just don't realize the level of evil that we're dealing with. Look at the royal family, all the pedophilia in England, the highest government ministers. They don't even let you in. A lot of the folks I've been told don't even like this, but they have to do it to become compromised, or these mafias don't accept you. Kind of like low-level mob will say, you got to kill somebody who's innocent to be a made man. Well, that's just regular organized crime. When you get up to the highest levels of betraying countries and carrying out evil, they go all the way. And you hear about the psychopath that kills people on his own getting in trouble, but the high-level ones, they just run the show. And this rabbit hole, I mean, I remember having John DeCamp, former state senator, former CIA black ops commander in Vietnam on, and he didn't really come on anymore. He's gotten pretty old, has some health issues. I'll just leave it at that. He wrote the Franklin cover-up. Most of what's in that book later came out. And he was on air like 15 years ago going, in Boys Town. And then I tell you, Penn State, they sell the kids out of the football program and rape them. And I took him off air. And then it all came out and was true. And, I mean, it's just those of us that aren't attracted to children and aren't attracted to Satanism, we just don't get it. So Lon romanticizes pedophile. This is an Infowars.com story. Salon romanticizes pedophile masturbating over a five-year-old girl. I'm sorry I have to talk like this. This is what's going on in America. Leftist news outlet plays dreamy footage of child as pedophile discusses sick fantasy. Unless you think we're spinning this, here's their own headline. I'm a pedophile, but I'm not a monster. And then in his new article and new videos, Todd Nickerson. Well, that just sounds like a pedo name out of Central Casting. He comes out and just salivates as they mainline. We're people too. Be tolerant of us. Next, it'll be let us teach your kids how we, you know, want them to live. Let us teach your kids about sexuality, which the schools are already doing. Across America, state officials are rebelling. How dare them against Obama's transgender bathroom decree. And here's the big one. Charlotte Observer. That's the big newspaper. Girls must overcome, quote, discomfort at seeing male genitals in the locker room as they integrate the showers all over the country. This is the mainlining. The sleeping giant needs to awaken.
So there you go. You could go watch it for yourself. People need to grab that and cut it up into bits and put it all over X. Because, you know, some of this goes back to 2002. I mean, Jones has been talking about this for a long time, and he's had the guests on talking about it. Most of the guests are no longer with us anymore. But we've got a couple things going on right now. There's a Board of Peace actually having their first meeting, and Trump is talking. We're going to go to that as soon as we get to Trump's doing his greetings and salutations. So we're going to go to that in a little bit. But we also have Alex Jones and Andrew Tate have both released reaction to Prince Andrew Mountbatten, formerly of Windsor. I guess he's still a Windsor. They haven't taken his name yet, but he's no longer the Duke of York. They both reacted to this. So let's go to Alex first. Then we may go to the Gaza speech because they want to build a 5,000-person military base on Gaza as part of the, I think, mainly to keep people from killing each other on that side of the world. But let's go to Alex first, talking about his reaction to Prince Andrew being arrested in the UK this morning.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, of course, a fake name. His real name is Andrew Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, and then goes on for about 10 pages. They changed their name right before World War I to Windsor. You can look that up. He's been arrested. And it looks like it's for industrial corporate espionage. That's at least what their search warrants were for, violating the public office he had with intelligence and information that he reportedly gave to Jeffrey Epstein. So now look for them to fry him over that and not all the pedophilia, but nothing's going to stop this coming out. And of course you have King Charles heavily involved with one of the most famous pedophiles ever and Satanist who murdered and ate children. That was all confirmed. Thousands of children he raped and hundreds we know he murdered. Many of them he ate. They found the secret satanic dungeon through a fake wall in his house. He had the highest security clearance you can get in the royal family. Only like a few hundred people may have it. Jimmy Savile. So you have the king's oldest brother in line beneath him. Prince Andrew formally stripped in the last few months. And now you have this happening. That's how huge this is. And both parties would involve the cover-up of it. Les Wexner is a Republican. He was basically the handler. Bill Barr was also the handler of Epstein with David Rockefeller. But then they handed the baton to the Democrats by the time Clinton got in. And then Trump, like I said, was never involved in any of the sex stuff from all the evidence we have. But by extension now, he's been involved in the DOJ with the cover-up, which, how's that going? So Trump has to get out ahead of this now. But there's not much time to get out ahead of this. It totally fries the deep state. It fries the globalists. 99% of the people in there are Democrats. It goes back to Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Barr, Bill Barr's dad, Les Wexner. So that's the old Republican part of it. That's even goes back to Franklin cover-up and the stuff in the 80s. And the underage call boys, 14 at the White House, Washington Times headline, 1988, 89. All that. That's how they've been controlling us forever. And we can't let our populist, nationalist movement be tainted by this. We built the runway, the gantry, the wave that Trump came in on. And if he wants to commit political suicide, that's his issue. And we'll still support not having carbon taxes and banning the poison shots and finding the missing kids, all the great things that overall administration is doing. But you just still can't have something evil like this right in the middle of it. And have Bonnie for the third time say they've released everything when she didn't. And then just hand total victory to the Democrats who are 10 times more guilty than any Republicans. I mean, they're just all over this. And you notice leftists are residing all over the world, all these leaders and prime ministers and former prime ministers, and they're all leftists. And the Republicans just sit there and don't even fire back, don't even point out all the stuff in the files. No calls to prosecute the people that are in there saying, we're bringing you the sex slave, you know. I mean, it's all there. And when they do redact the names, it's Democrats, other than Les Wexner. And because of that, and because they're trying to cover up for Mossad and MI6 and the CIA, Trump has allowed the DOJ to do this, pretty much directed him to do it. And now that's how serious this has gotten. And this is, and they're doing this, the royal family, to protect themselves because they know what's coming out and they want to make it look like they're actually doing something about it. This is desperation. The world's in so much danger. God knows what false flag, different factions of globalists are going to stage. Big cyber attack outage, new war, Iran, a nuclear reactor melting down. I mean, danger, 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 folks. Because the globalists are in trouble. They admit they're in free fall. What are they going to pull? I'll be covering it all today at 11 a.m. Central on my show. And, of course, you can tune to the other shows at Infowars.com/show. Follow me on Exit Real Alex Jones for the latest updates. I'm on Rumble at the Alex Jones Show. Thank you so much. But, you know, the House of Cards is coming down.
Well, there's Alex Jones. Getting his reaction to the news this morning. And of course he's saying the same thing. It's not about the pedophilia and the sex trafficking. It's about, you know, selling the secrets because that's what governments really don't like. They don't like being told what they're doing wrong or having their activities outed. They like to be able to work in the shadows and it's, you know, sex trafficking is part of that, working in the shadows. So, are we ready for that Gaza, I guess the what are they calling it? The World Peace Initiative? The Board of Peace. Yes, the Board of Peace costs $1 billion to join. Sort of going to be like an offshoot, well, a substitute for the UN because the UN's become this, you know, back in the 90s, the UN was this bloated organization where people, you know, a diplomatic community, there are people carrying literal, there's reports of people carrying suitcases of drugs in and out of that building in New York, and they couldn't be touched. They could fly in with their drugs, sell them. Nobody would do anything about it because they had diplomatic immunity. So it's just a gross, corrupt organization. Now Trump is creating this slimmed down Board of Peace, and here's their first meeting. And they're probably talking about this 5,000-person military base in the Gaza Strip, but here it is.
But we work together to ensure the brighter future for the people of Gaza, the Middle East, and the entire world. I think that the Board of Peace, because it's mostly leaders and unbelievably respected people, but mostly leaders of Middle Eastern countries, countries from all over the world. And they've been very generous with money also. And the United States, which I'll say in a moment, is also very generous with money because there's nothing more important than peace. And there's nothing less expensive than peace. You know, when you go to wars, it costs you 100 times what it costs to make peace. We have a man at the end right there that's smiling because you learned that after 30 years of fighting, right? 30 years of fighting, we got it done. I want to thank you very much. That was a great thing you did, you and your new friend. They came to my office and they said, I've been fighting for 22 years. Now you're there for 23 years, right? But I've been fighting for 22 years. That's all I've done is fight this gentleman. And his counterpart was there for 7 years. He said, I've been there for 7 years. All I've done is fight this gentleman. And we had it worked out in about 24 hours, right? And it's been a good piece of that. I think they've become friends. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say that, but I think so. I think they've become friends, right? Great. Stand up. These are two tough cookies, too. You think that was easy? It wasn't easy. These are two tough people, good people, but tough people. But, you know, we're in the Oval Office, and we're getting near. But the one was at one side of the room, two chairs right in front of the desk, the beautiful Resolute desk. One's over here. One's on the other side of the room. I said, folks, could you get a little closer? Well, I don't know. They felt very uncomfortable. You know, they've been killing each other for 32 years. So I say, can you get a little closer? After 1 hour, they were right next to each other. We made a deal. They hugged. They signed. And we had peace with two very important countries. And I'll never forget it. So they started off a little weak, and they ended up really strong. And you can be very proud of yourselves. It was a beautiful thing to see. Thank you. Look at that. Can you believe it? 32 years. Thank you.
Oh, you're not going to see this on Apple News.
Thank you very much. But we're honored to be joined today by Prime Minister Rama of Albania. Where is President Milei? You're another one, I'll tell you. Where's President Milei? I endorsed him. I'm not supposed to be endorsing people, but I endorse when I like people. You know, I've had a very good record of endorsing candidates within the United States. But now I endorse foreign leaders, including Viktor Orban, who's here, and others. And I endorse this gentleman, Milei. He was a little behind in the polls. He ended up winning in a landslide. I just endorsed the Prime Minister of Japan. She was in a tight race, but was probably going to win. And she won in the largest number in the history of Japan. So she likes me a lot. But it was an honor. And you're doing great. Oh, look, they're sitting right next to Victor. But ultimately, I think I'm going to end up endorsing. Hey, look, as long as it works, it's okay with me. But the endorsement seems to be working in foreign countries, too. So that's good. But nice to have you both, Victor. Nice to have you both. Very proud of you. The Prime Minister of another really just a great guy, Pashinyan of Armenia, President Aliyev of Azerbaijan. I love saying that name now. You know, at the beginning, it was giving me a hard time. Now I love saying it. It's a beautiful name. I love it. His Majesty King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa of Bahrain. Thank you. Where are you? He's so rich, he can sit there. He can sit wherever the hell he wants.
So what's interesting about the Board of Peace, we can bring him down a little bit. He's starting to just thank people now. But Trump's gone in and shut down a lot of these little regional conflicts that were happening in the world. Got these guys to shake hands. The picture that he was showing where he's grabbing the guys, it's the leader of Azerbaijan and who was the other guy? He was the leader of Armenia. And so he's getting these little bitty wars, going into Africa, getting conflicts stopped. And he's looking at the United Nations going, what are these guys doing? They're not bringing in any peace. There's no, you know, they bring in peacekeepers, and that basically just creates another little sex trafficking thing. But it goes to, and I talked about Apple News. You're not going to see this on Apple News. Somebody just did a analyzation of the news stories in January of this year. 600 news stories, all from left-wing outlets, all of them. And so people who get their news from Apple are getting one side of the story, which is hate Trump, Trump bad. And you're not going to see anything about this peace plan on there. And I get texts like this in a group chat. Holy S-H-I-T, you guys, the president of the United States is a serial killing pedophile deeply implicated in global sex trafficking honeypot operation. And he's being blackmailed by both Israel and Iran for the depraved things he's done. And Israel is hell-bent on nuking Iran. Well, that may be true. And they're building concentration camps all across the U.S. Just politics as usual. But Biden, WTF, love you guys. Take care. We're in for a wild ride. Yeah, we're definitely in for a wild ride. But we just played a 9-second clip from Michael Wolff, who is a guy who has hundreds of hours of interviews with Jeffrey Epstein. And he's like, wow, these Epstein files are making Trump actually look good. And there's no implicating him in anything. And it was Alex who said yesterday, it's going to be stuff about Melania that's going to come out before she got married to Trump. And that he's trying to protect his wife, which is notable. He's putting him in a hard position. So yeah, I think if the Justice Department's going to do his job, we're definitely going to be in a wild ride seeing, people on the right, some people on the left, anybody involved with Epstein, let's see him go down. I mean, I think Lutnick has to resign at this point because he lied. He lied and said, oh, I never went and hung out with him. And then he goes to the island with his kids to have lunch. So, you know, these people think they're not beholden to us. Okay, they think they don't have to answer. You're in a public position now. You need to answer. You know, yeah, hey, well, it's my mask. Yeah, there's my mask. You know, that's how not involved Lutnick is in the operation. But Trump is planning 5,000 person military base on Gaza. It will act as a headquarters for the future International Stabilization Force, the ISF, a new multinational army that will be set across 350 acres. It's part of the Board of Peace, which we just saw, and it's led by Trump and Kushner. Overseeing the Gaza peace plan. I would say it's the Gaza rebuilding effort. They've demolished the area. You can see the photos. You know, Trump was saying it's cheaper for peace. It's definitely cheaper for peace than having to, you pay for bombing a place and then you pay to rebuild the stuff you bombed. And it will be 1,400 meters by 1,100 meters and have its entire perimeter covered by barbed wire. The military base document was issued by the Board of Peace and prepared with the aid of U.S. officials. And I got some more interesting Trump news. Trump rushed into Iran crisis meeting as insider warns strike within hours. That was this morning. So that was before. And listen to that Board of Peace meeting. See if he mentions Iran at all. And if he does, we'll go back to it and play that. So set to strike within hours. He summoned his top advisors for a briefing at the White House on Wednesday to discuss the ongoing nuclear crisis with Iran, according to a report from Axios. Following the meeting, Polish Prime Minister and NATO ally Donald Tusk said all citizens, Polish citizens, should evacuate Iran because it may not be possible in a matter of hours. So he said, please leave and do not come back. So we have that on the table. Let's see, U.S. withdrawing all forces from Syria over a year after the regime changed by proxy war. This is interesting because this was an Al-Qaeda leader who basically, probably with the help of the CIA, did an overthrow of Bashar al-Assad, Jalani, and basically we're turning over the entire country to them. We're moving. We have about 800 to 2,000 troops on the ground and some contractors and intelligence operatives, but they're going to start moving them out. Trump's been weighing a complete withdrawal since the year's start, having fully backed the Jalani regime in the wake of the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad, which has been awkward because he has been on the terror list. I think there's pictures of him with decapitated heads. And, on Wednesday, The Wall Street Journal reported the U.S. is in the process of withdrawing its roughly 1,000 troops from Syria, according to three American officials, ending a decade-long military operation in the country. And then we have this, which is more good news. Trump admin closes CDL loophole that let illegal aliens drive big rigs. So now California is going to be breaking the law, federal law, if they continue to give illegals driver's license. The Department of Transportation shut down a major safety vulnerability in the past week that allowed illegal immigrant drivers to operate commercial trucks on American highways despite having no verifiable driving history. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said, for far too long, America has allowed dangerous foreign drivers to abuse our truck licensing system and wreak havoc on our roadways. The safety loophole ends today. Moving forward, unqualified foreign drivers will be unable to get a license to operate an 80,000-pound big rig. So they're still under the provisions. Only foreign nationals holding temporary work visas such as H-2B, H-1B, or temporary investor visas from treaty countries known as E-2 visas may be eligible. In addition, the states must verify the lawful immigration status of every applicant checking the SAVE system. Here's a little factoid. 30 people died in 17 crashes caused by non-domiciled commercial driver's license holders in 2025, according to reports. And the leftists will go, well, white drivers killed more. That's what they'll say, which I don't even know if we have those statistics, but. And there was a multi-vehicle crash, Interstate 80 in Wyoming on February 14th that killed 3 people and injured 20 others. So that was just 30 people died from illegal drivers. So good deal. Get rid of them. You know, and I know they're saying, well, the trucking rates are going to go up. No, with the fuel rates going down and hiring more truckers and training more truckers. That's what it takes. You got to train them. There's places right down the road from here where they're training people to get their CDL. So especially if you're a young person, you want to travel around, it's not a bad life. And the technology's gotten a lot better for you to, keep in touch with people and, you know, really see the country. So I think that's all great. As we go to break, we're going to open up the phone lines next hour and take your calls. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. We're going to open up the phone lines. We've got another flashback, Alex Jones exposing the pedos flashback coming up at the top of the hour. And then we'll get into a whole bunch more. I've got an interesting animated video talking about the missing $2 trillion at the Pentagon. We've got so much more. We've got a bunch of election news we're going to cover. I haven't even got into that yet. And Darren McBreen will be in studio in the last segment. I don't even know what he wants to cover, but I said, you got to come on and talk about this because we don't know how much longer we're going to be here. So don't forget to go to thealexjonesstore.com and check out all the amazing gifts and things you can get for yourself. It's all there.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theolivestore.com.
Always ask me, why am I so upset when they're saying, get six-year-old girls ready to see boys in the showers with them in major newspapers, when they are having pedophiles out there saying, you know, I'm not a monster, you know, to normalize and humanize it in a cold-blooded tactic using mental patients, using mentally ill people, in my opinion, like this guy who was abused as a small boy, Todd Nickerson. If you're a TV viewer, look at him showing a picture of himself. He was abused as a 3 or 4 year old. So now that's what he's attracted to is 5 year old girls. They have had their sexuality jacked. Now that's only one division. That's the Renfield kind of bumbling, mentally stunted servants of the pedophile guilds in every culture, in every time. Above that is a more cold-blooded manager level. A lot of times isn't even into the pedophilia. And then above that are the vampires. And I'm, when I say vampires, they don't live forever, but I think they are possessed and they're into really hurting kids, torturing them, kidnapping them, you name it. And when you look at a lot of, it's come out, the people in the British government, our government, other governments, it's come out, government ministers all over Europe caught with little kids in dungeons, dozens of them dead. All over the world, I mean, this comes out in criminology, but it's not really in the news. It's so horrible that they'll be in little cages and just the demons, the judges, the politicians will go and just sit for 10 hours a day with the children just begging and pleading for food and just horrified and their ribs shrinking in. Their favorite thing is starving to death 4-year-olds begging for mommy. And then they call it using them up when they finally whimper, give up, roll over and die. They then have sex with the dead bodies, thank Satan, like Jimmy Savile would do, and go out and grab your next child out of the back of your yard. Now, I'm sorry to have to talk like this, but you need to know who's coming for you and your family. And every instinct in me, I mean, I'll just be quite honest. I start focusing on the enemy, and I get extremely crazed, okay? So, I mean, it's just every instinct in me is just, rah, just let me into a room with 100 of these people. I'm telling you. And I just don't know where the spirit and the will is to crush the enemy out there. What have they done to us to put us into a trance to put up with this garbage? What have they done to us? What? Again, I'm nothing special, but I see a car wreck, I go help people. Some lady's choking. There's 50 people. Nobody's helping her, saying 911. I do the Heimlich, get the food out. 50 years ago, almost everybody do the Heimlich. I've looked at the numbers. The reports have been documented. We're turning into a bunch of self-centered, walking dead trash. And we're such zombies. We're such self-centered crap that we don't even notice hell itself rising up against us. And my very spirit is just absolutely ready at every level to just absolutely, we're under attack, people. Where is the animating contest of liberty? Where is the spirit lifted up against these people? All right, I'm sorry. I focus in on the evil. It really freaks me out, and I don't get like that a lot, but I know the enemy spirit, and I start talking about it, and it just gets to me because my spirit gets close to that evil, and I feel it, and my whole spirit just goes, they call that crazy. That's not crazy. That's my will, my human spirit saying, crush those that would hurt the innocent. Go after the enemy. Build a civilization. Be honorable. Crush the snakes under your feet. Get behind me, Satan. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weirdo woman, Uma Abedin, whose mother wears a hood over her head and writes top articles in the world promoting cutting women's genitals off. What the hell? That woman, number one, is ugly and evil. But imagine if you're like, oh, what does your mom do? Oh, she's a top genital mutilation pusher. I'd be like, whoa, get the hell away from me. Again, but Hillary's into like creepy, weird, sick stuff, man.
Sing along. You know the words.
Just disgusting with flies all over. Big, fat, stinking dick. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. You can't wash that evil off, man.
told there's a rotten smell around there. I'm not kidding. People say, they say, folks, I've been told this by high up folks. They say, listen, Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Second hour of The American Journal has kicked off. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Today is February 19th, 2026. And you can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z, because the N-E-W-S was already taken. So, in fact, I think I created that email or that Twitter handle. It was Twitter at the time. McAdoo was helping me work because we were trying to think of a good one. And it's like, she goes, it needs to be two letters. It needs to be quick. I'm like, yeah. And so we came up with Dews News, but that was taken. So we, N-E-W-Z, not because I'm edgy, folks. That's not it. Although I do. You know, if you act like a retard or a faggot, that's what you're going to get called by me. Hey, if you go to the alexjonesstore.com, I was looking on my phone earlier. They didn't have the scrollers, but if you guys pull up the website, you can see the scroller. Right now, you get a free hat of 1776 with the nice stars around it. I've seen this everywhere. In fact, I ride around the lake a lot here. Well, they call it a lake. It's actually a river here in Austin. And I see people, a lot of people, 1776 tattoos, 1776 shirts. Like, the mentality is coming back that we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. So right now, no minimum purchase. Every order gets a free hat, and there's 2 days left to get, register for both vehicle sweepstakes. I think one's a Charger, I believe. It's a white car, and then there's like a diesel F-250. I mean, or it might even be an F-350. Yeah, look at that. Woo! Oh, no, sorry. It's a Ford Mustang GT500. I'm sorry. And a Ford F-250. So, to me, the Mustangs and the Chargers have sort of morphed into almost the same car. They have look like the same car design, but, you know, nothing like that old 65 Mustang. But there's a newer version, Ford Mustang GT and F-4250. You can see we've been giving these things out left and right for people who sign in, who buy things at the Alex Jones Store, which funds us. And it supports your body, your health. You can get cool stuff like this, some gear. Free hat with every purchase, no minimum to spend, thealexjonesstore.com. And you get 100 times entries. It's usually 50 times for every dollar spent, but you get 100 times for everyone. And while you're there, grab some methylene blue, methylene red. I prefer the methylene blue capsules. That's what I take. And I'll tell you, I took a little break off of it. I'm actually, I think last Friday was the last time taking it. And so I'm trying to see, I'm waiting to see when the brain fog comes back when I wake up in the morning. Cause there's times when I wake up in the morning, I was, you know, back in the day, my brain was foggy. Hasn't happened yet. So I'm still feeling the effects from taking a pill every other day, back from Friday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm on my sixth day not taking anything just to see how, just do a little test. So I'm always running tests. So I've got some, humanoid Chinese robots coming in, but don't forget, I did open up the phone lines. I barely opened them there in the last hour. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. And we will get the callers up on the air. We're logging into the system. Let's see. Where do I want to go to now? Oh, and Trump was mentioning, you know, I read that article from Axios that there was a strike within hours. Now he's saying, hey, we've got good talks going with Iran, they were telling me. So from his board of peace. Okay, let's go. Sean in New York wants to burn it all down. Go ahead, Sean. I'm kind of with you, but go ahead. What do you got to say?
Copy that.
You're live.
Captain Clown Car reporting for duty, sir. Mr. Rob Dew, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing today, Clown Car? They didn't put Clown Car. They just put Sean in New York.
I'm shot out of a cannon because I'm just fed up with I'm fed up with everything that's going on around me, brother. And I don't really see an end game. I see an exit strategy. So I'm just wondering, Rob, what's our exit strategy here at this point? Do we bunker down? Do we quiet down? Because the more loud we get, the more it seems that we get pushed back. So, you know, obviously nobody's doing anything. Oh, Europe arrested Prince Andrew. Who cares? We got guys right here, guys who are still in control of our government, guys who are still in control of our... Listen, we got to be a little naive to think that Trump's not involved in anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein. We got to be naive. You know, I was watching Whoopi Goldberg say, oh, look, even I'm in the Epstein files. Like, it's a badge of honor, you know. And then, of course, Joy Behar says, well, Donald Trump is in there 34,000 times. Now, if Donald Trump is in there 34,000 times, how come Alex doesn't know this? Or is Joy Behar lying? And if so, at what point does the misinformation, like, you couldn't even say that the elections were rigged without them trying to put some kind of a charge on you.
Right.
You know, and the stuff with Alex, like, Alex was just pontificating, let's say, on his theory of what might have happened when a father who lost their child is laughing on a press conference seconds before he goes into crying. That seems a little suspect. I think people should be allowed to call that out without being charged $31 billion.
Yeah. Well, I think Joy Behar was lying. I don't think it's 34,000 times. I think Trump's obviously in there because, you know, he was a guy in New York and he did know Epstein in the past and did deals with him.
Right.
So I don't think you're naive to say that. And I think we should keep pushing for more and more and more disclosures. And people need to, like, a guy put out a video that said, hey, people are going to these pages and they're saying they're blank because it's a PDF. But if you change it to MP4, oh, it's a video file or oh, it's a picture. Wow. You know, so Wow. It's what?
No, I'm just saying, wow, I can't believe that they left that little part out. But see, God does that a lot. God makes these people speak the truth.
Exactly. And hey, listen, more stuff's coming out every day. And yeah, we've had people resign. Nobody's been arrested yet, but people are feeling the heat. And here's the thing. What did I say? It was the pedo tolerance level. We have to get to that. We have to get the normies to hit their pedo tolerance level because people that are awake, we've been past it. We're already, our pedo tolerance level's off the charts. We have no tolerance for these people. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to start,
that's the thing though. We have to get, and by keeping it out and keeping it on the front burner, hey, we can run this for years. 3 million, at least 3 million, files on this drop. So we just have to keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. You know, they weren't looking at Zorro Ranch. Well, now they're looking at Zorro Ranch. And now we find out a guy running for Texas comptroller, or agricultural commissioner. I forget what Don Huffines is running for. But he bought it. Now he's like, I'm doing construction, and it's going to be a Christian missionary. I don't know why you'd even want to go in there and taint the Christian movement by bringing anything to that evil place because you know there's a lot of horrors there gone on. But go ahead,
isn't the idea of like an Indian sacred burial ground not to mess with the soil because of what it contains, the souls of people, and how, you know, that's where Poltergeist, the movie, comes from, and you want to go and build on the house of ill repute a church to bring young children? Like, the evilness in general, like you said, rough. There's good and there's evil. I've been calling that from the start. It's not Democratic or Republican. It's good versus evil, and it has to do with your faith. Whether your faith is in this God, that God, whoever, Buddha, you know, come up with whatever you want. But if you're on a mission and you want to really keep these people from controlling our lives the way they do, we need to start doing protests in the street. We need these people arrested. I don't care if the economy crashes. The economy is going to crash anyway. You know, they're talking how many times we're going to go to war with Iran and Iraq. And, you know, this place is still... Russia's still fighting Ukraine. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Hey, Listen, this isn't a video game. It's not going to turn. You can't just turn it on and off. These things take a long time. And all I'm saying is we've gotten a lot more done with Trump in office than without him. In fact, I'm going to go. Thanks for your call, Clown Car. I love your perspective. Love your energy. And it's always great hearing from you. You know, Trump, who is it? Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, just closed a loophole. I don't think it's totally fixed. The system is totally fixed. But we have Tim in California, who I imagine is a trucker because he says trucking has been ruined by immigrants. So go ahead, Tim. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning. And thank you for taking my call. And just a shout out to Clown Car, just a footnote, because every time I get a chance to say this, I always like to put this in there. You know, people talk about red, blue, Republican, Democrat, even good, evil. And that's subjective. I might say you're evil and you might say I'm evil. The one way you can really measure things that I found out is it's creation versus destruction.
Yeah, I'm with
you. These are the two, man. And even the Bible starts off with God created. And then he explains in the Bible that, you know, Satan has come to rob, kill, destroy. You know, so it is creation versus destruction. But coming back to our topic of discussion, I had to chime in. Now, I'm retired rabbi. We're great-grandparents. We're old now. But back in the day, yeah, my last year was 2017, and I drove all 48 lower states. I was OTR, over the road. I would go out 28 days and then come home for 5 days. So I've seen it all, buddy. I'm like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. But even back in the day, I would see guys, you know, whatever, Middle Eastern-type folks, and they would be in the truck stop, washing their feet in the sink that we're going to wash our hands in before we go eat a meal kind of thing. And that was a little disturbing. But there was even occasions where, we'd be picking up loads at reputable retailers. I don't need to shame their name or anything, but, you know, big retailers. And they'd have, you know, 50 dock doors. I mean, really, really big companies. And there'd be a guy getting his paperwork, similar type guy, and he'd be going, yes. And I said, you know, he doesn't understand a word you're saying, lady. And he'd, yes. And I said, watch this. I said, you had some kitty litter with your cereal for breakfast this morning, right? And he goes, yes. And I said, see, he didn't understand a word he said. So they're pretending. But here's how you really know they're pretending, because I can remember when I first got my commercial license. And you have to do this at the start of every day, at the start of every shift. You have to have this pre-check. You have to go through the tractor and the trailer. You got to do all this equipment check. Raise
you
got to
check your hoses.
Look at all this stuff. I mean, all this stuff. And it's not just, because the government's looking for your shoulder. It's to save your life
and
the lives of others. You have to be safe. You know, you don't want anything to fail while you're going 65 miles an hour with 80,000 pounds following you. Because if you come to a stop, that 80,000 pounds is going to smash you like a fly swatter hitting a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it in most cases. Anyway, it's not trying to be gory. But I'm just telling you, it really would take approximately 20 to 30 minutes to do a legitimate pre-check every single day that I ever drove. And you really had to understand, I'm looking at this component. This is what it is. This is what it does. This is what I'm looking for. And, and we even had a little key that would measure, like, the distance of the brakes or anything, even like a little a crack in the windshield or whatever. There was even a limit on that.
Yeah.
And there's certain things where, hey, as soon as you discover it, it's out of service. You can't just keep going hoping it's going to work out. You know, this isn't out of service violation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to call in and have it towed to someplace, or a guy's going to come fix it on site, or if I can fix it, great. But we can't just keep driving. And the other thing I would mention is flatlanders. That is to say, some of these guys, they get away with it because they're driving, you know, flat land. And one day they get out in these 11 western states where there's all these mountain ranges and stuff. And, hey, you're coming down this whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. The Eisenhower tunnels are like 11,000 feet in elevation, more than 2 miles high, right? And you, if you drive it at night, you're coming down this incredible grade for a long, 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 long time. And you see this amazing bright city below you. And that it's a mile below you, and that city that's a mile below you is the Mile High City of Denver.
Yeah.
You still got it.
I've driven that road going in and out of Denver, and it, you know, and it's weird for a car driving because, you know, you're going uphill and then all of a sudden you're going downhill, and you could get not even putting your foot on the gas, I could get going 80 miles an hour just by coasting. So I can't imagine what a truck's doing, and they have all those off ramps, those safety off ramps where they can go if they lose their brakes.
Runaway ramp.
Yeah, the runaway ramps. Did you ever have to hit a runaway ramp when you were driving?
Never did, but if you need to, you better do it, buddy.
Yeah.
That's what they got gears in the truck for, those. If you're at the top, you pick the right gear, you're never going to end up in a runaway ramp. The guys that end up in runaway ramps weren't in the right gear at the top, or they don't know what they're doing. They tried to ride their brakes all the way down. Brakes got hot. Yeah. You ain't got no brakes. And the other thing is, you'll see trucks at the bottom of the mountain where the trailer's on fire.
Right.
You wonder why that happened.
That's from the brakes.
Yeah, well, the brakes were too hot, and then when he stopped, all that heat rises,
yeah,
and the floor of the truck's wooden.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, I just thought I'd mention that, you know, the concept that these guys are driving around with 80,000 pounds going up and down mountains, and we're all just with them. Hey, man, you better pray to God that guy is a citizen and did learn properly and is a professional and is careful and does want to live another day. And you see that guy that made that U-turn on Florida, and he killed those people, and he didn't even look concerned. He looked like, what was that, some bump?
He's like, sorry. Like, I didn't realize.
It's like,
I hit somebody.
Yeah.
And here's the guy making the U-turn. We're showing some of these. Here's the guy making the U-turn. Just, you know, I'm going to make a U-turn, and then somebody slams into him. I think the people who slammed into him were immigrants as well. So, I mean, we never set up a proper system to even assimilate people. I can see bringing people into the country, but you have to assimilate them. You can't just say, hey, we're just going to bow down to your culture. You know, no. You're coming into our home. You have to learn our culture. Okay.
And you at least have to speak English.
Yeah.
I think that's a good start.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A good start, right?
That's the path onto assimilation is learning English. Thanks for calling, Tim. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tim in Seattle. Says the pedo class is releasing robots upon us. I got some interesting robot video coming up. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I saw that video, the Chinese parkour stuff, and that's pretty interesting considering 163 UN member nation states have signed treaties with one another to make sure AI isn't fully in charge of these robots. But we're now seeing that the emperor doesn't have any clothes. It's now realizing that all eyes are gazing upon it. And so what is it going to do in response to our gaze? Is it going to release the killer robots? And if it is, we were like Alex has been warning us. So like I heard Alex talk about this and got my mind wrapping around this in 2014. That's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, this has been building and building and building. And you're playing all these old clips of Alex, and, you know, yes, we are in a trance. We are most definitely in a trance. And now the Epstein administration, sorry, Trump, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to. The Epstein administration is now running us into a war to help avoid the gaze on these Epstein emails. That's what's going on, I think, in my mind. So, I mean, I just wanted to – I know I like the black pill. But it's a sobering time. We need to sober up from the trance, the drunkenness of winning. We never won. We were given something else. And so, yeah, the killer robots are coming. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, tighten the leash on us considerably. So, FYI, you know, y'all.
I would say we have to worry more about the drones and the little dog robots before these humanoid robots. I think a lot of this humanoid robot stuff is motion capture stuff that they're programming into it. This isn't a robot that they're putting out. They do these demonstrations and people are like, oh my goodness. But I think a lot of this stuff is programmed. It's not working on its own. In terms of it's not autonomous. We just showed some video where they hand the robot the gun and the guy has to cock the gun. So they're not even letting the robots cock the guns at this point. So, but it is coming. It's getting better and better. You can see with the AI, it's getting, you know, Will Smith eating spaghetti is starting to look pretty realistic.
I think that video was fake. That one where they trained it out in the desert and stuff like that. I mean, that's pretty alarming to see that the robot respond in such a way. But they don't care for us anymore. We have to sober up from the fact that we think that we have some sort of human rights. We ain't got shit. The pedophile vampire class has plans.
Well, the world is waking up to it. You know, a few years ago when Pizzagate happened, you know, people were like, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. They were able to suppress it. Well, now people are like, wait a minute. Those people were right. And so it's almost like an even bigger wave of information is going on. Yeah. And hey, it's not going to be easy to beat these people. They've been in power for thousands of years and they want to stay in power. You know, they're not just going to go lightly. They're not just going to go, oh, okay, we'll get out of the way. We'll stop eating kids. No, they're not. They're going to keep doing
it. Exactly.
So let's play the video right now of, let's do clip 8 first. This is the one, I don't know if you were playing it earlier, but the ones with them with the rifles, I'll kind of narrate it. And it's, it looks like they're running through a course, but go ahead and start playing that one. And, yeah. You can bring down the Chinese, language going on, but this is in China and they're putting the gun in the robot's hands and then they're going to actually cock the gun. You see the guy pulls it back. And so then they set them out on this course. I mean, are they reacting to what they're seeing? Are they already programmed to make these maneuvers? I think they're already programmed to make it. There's a viral video out there of a robot who's serving drinks and it looks like his controller falls or something, whoever's in the 3D, you know, motion capture device, because the robot puts his hands up as it falls backwards. And like, it's like, oh my God, and that would be something of an operator who is operating this thing doing. So is this a situation where each robot has its own controller in a different location that's, you know, running on one of those treadmills and looking around? That's what it looks like. Let's show them the one, the clip 21 of the humanoids robots doing Tai Chi or whatever, they're Kung Fu, whatever, they're doing something. But I think all this stuff's programmed into it. They're not like, they didn't teach it Kung Fu and then like, hey, go out and show everybody what you're done. They were taught a program of, here's the Kung Fu program, and they institute it in there and then they do it. But, you know, if they fought a real person, how would they react? Who was doing different things? So here they go. The robots are about to go nuts here. But, you know, this is their demonstration. Now, it is interesting that they can make all these maneuvers because these are very human-like movements. You know, it's not Robbie the robot who's waddling along. This is pretty impressive. You know, they're doing backflips. You know, leg sweep. They're doing all this and they got humans behind them doing the same thing. And the humans don't quite look as good. It's like they got level 2, Tai Chi or humans to just show, oh, they're not quite as good as the robot. Look how good the robot is. They can hold that position for hours. So I think it's all programmed in. It's there to put a show on. I did see an interesting video a few days ago. A guy said, you know, watch the price of gold. You got to watch it once they have enough of these robots. Say they have a million or a billion robots. They're just going to send them out to mine gold. And so the price is going to go down with these things. But I think you got some time to still get in and take advantage of gold and silver prices right now. But, thanks for the call, Tim. I got like a minute left. You know what? I'll pick up the calls on the other side of the break. We got Josh in North Carolina, Godzilla in Wisconsin, Lee in Kansas, Fajita in Oklahoma City, and Brianna in Oklahoma. What's that? Fajita. Okay, Fajita in Oklahoma City. I'm going to get to all you guys in the next segment, and then we've got two guests. We're going to have Lila Harton here at the first part of the third hour, and then Darren McBreen. So it's going to be we'll cover the news that I haven't covered yet. Probably play some videos, but I'll probably be done with calls at the end of that. So we'll get through these five calls next segment. Thank you for watching. You could always watch us at Infowars.com/show. You can watch us on band.video or at X at Infowars. That's the American Journal. Catch it every day from 8 a.m. to 11. Then we got the Alex Jones Show from 11 to 3. And then the War Room from 3 to 6. And that's our broadcast day. 10 hours of live news and analysis every day, every weekday. You can find it here at Infowars and Infowars.com. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back with the second half of the second hour of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing.
Go to thealexshowstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultra-methylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones backup network and the site. There's all sorts of behind-the-scenes attacking them. They're big boys, too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month, you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR, PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month. You get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexshowstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spend X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexshowstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexshowstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're taking your calls here on The American Journal. Let's go to John in North Carolina, who, like most Americans who are awake and know what's going on, is done with the excuses. John, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Bob. Mic check. How you doing?
I got you. I hear you loud and clear.
How you doing? I just wanted to call in. I ain't talked to you yet. I normally call in early in the mornings at work, but brother, I come from bootleggers, and I just gotta say, people need to understand. Like, you haven't trusted the government in a long time, so we just take what they say with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Overall, Trump's doing good, man, but that DOJ, we got to talk about that. Got to keep that pressing. And it's all this stuff in the world, I got to say, it's an ancient evil. It is ancient. We know that. And guess who's being called to eradicate it yet again? Christian. Always.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're getting awakened. We're starting to awaken. We're starting to feel that whole gory nonsense. You know, if that's how you feel, guess what? I hope you eat, but you can't eat in my table. That's how we feel about it.
But, did you say you come from a long line of bootleggers?
Just in that area, boss.
Okay, in your area. Yeah, okay. Well, and that's interesting. The bootleggers are like, look, we're not going to pay taxes on our alcohol. We're going to make it and sell it to our friends because, you know, we like drinking this stuff. And I mean,
to be honest with you, the best candidate thing can do is just decriminalize marijuana. I hate to say it out loud, but, you know, let's be honest with you. That would steal a lot of the tax money that the cartels are getting via that card. Like, the market's going to be there. The stuff they're selling legally is questionable at best.
I agree.
Because,
yeah,
like, that's the whole topic. But anyway, that's not what I called about. I just want to rep you. I'm still out here trying to promote for, you know, certain towns in my area. Don Brown's doing good. But other people in the area, I want to say the InfoWars are making victories, brother. Y'all are winning. I just want to say kudos to y'all. I'm praying for y'all. Taking the products. I got Methylene Blue here. But also, you know, a few others. But I just move on. A big key if people aren't using is the next step is going to be the culture war. We got to start getting music back out there. You know, that's the whole thing. How are they getting this to this kid? Because they're coming out with a new top 10 on the radio.
Right. And it's all Satan worship. Everything, it seems to be in pop music, Satan worship. Check this out.
It's dashed with a little bit of this, it's dashed with a little bit of that. And, you know, KRS-One. I want to say his name out loud.
Yeah.
Number one, he represents that whole idea. And I just want to say live music is what we're lacking. That would be a big win in the culture war that would be coming up next, I do believe. Alex may know more than me.
Right. No, I agree. More live music. I've been going to, since the last like 3 or 4 years, I'm like kind of dedicating myself to going back because I used to play in bands and stuff and I always liked live music, but going out and just seeing live music and being part of that, you know, I guess gathering that, you know, that music goes out and then it's gone. It's like boom. And so you have to be there to experience it. Seeing it, you know, recorded, it's never the same thing, especially, you know, when you're in with a group of people vibing to a good message. Dan Badondi, former InfoWars reporter, put this out. Jinx Middle School in Pawtucket in Rhode Island has this Baphomet painting that they have on their school wall. Look at this. I mean, can you believe that? Like, you're talking about good and evil. Well, there it is right there in a middle school. We're going to put a Baphomet painting mural on the wall. Well, you know, that's going to teach the kids good, you know, good, teach them how to destroy things, teach them. And they're conditioning the children out there to go out and fight ice because they have no idea that ice is literally going in and just supposedly they're grabbing criminals out of the jails in most of the states. But in the ones that aren't working with them, they have to go find these people. So I like what ICE is doing and I want to see more of it. And I don't think they should be backing down, but there you go. You know, Satan worship statue in Jinx Middle School in Rhode Island. And you know, that's Dan Badondi posting that out, sent it to me. I'm going to try to let people know about it. And hopefully people go in there and get that thing taken down. They paint over it because we don't need that stuff. All right. Let's go to, Brianna in Oklahoma. Her pedo tolerance level's off the chart. Go ahead, Brianna.
Hi. It's so great to talk to you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I would like to just say that if everyone would just remember that we have something called the Constitution, you can go to hillsdale.edu and for free, you can just at least watch the first video of Constitution 101. It's under 8 minutes long. You'll figure out very quickly. Everyone keeps asking, what do we do? What is Trump going to do? We, the people, they work for us. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive to the ends that they have, it is our duty, it is our right to abolish anything that's not like supporting the best interest of the people. I don't understand why we're not asserting our right to abolish and remove these people from power.
Well, and you wonder why people don't know their rights because they're not taught in school. You have to literally go and find an elective government class if you're going to find anything about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Cause they don't want people to know what their rights are. They want people to think their rights are what the news media tells them.
Mm-hmm. And people feel a loss of power and confusion, like they don't know what to do.
Right.
And Hillsdale has never taken a penny from federal government ever. Everything on their website's free, completely free. I really recommend, if anyone cares, we don't have to go up in arms. This doesn't have to be bloody and insane. We can just simply use our right, which is our duty, to protect ourselves and get rid of these blood-sucking psychopaths.
Right.
And whatever Melania did, we don't give a shit, okay? Yeah. We really don't.
I don't care. It doesn't doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. It didn't when she did it, and it doesn't now.
Yes. Like, it's our opportunity right now. We have Trump at least as president. He's surrounded by trash. It's a global issue. But we have natural rights that we're born with, a free will, and it's being impeded on. We're suffering, and the children are suffering. We need to reform, and we need to assert and educate ourselves. Please go to hillsdale.edu and sign up for the free Constitution class, please.
All right. Thank you, Brianna. People can sign up for that, hillsdale.edu. Check it out. Godzilla in Wisconsin. Let's talk about the Iran war and Epstein. Go ahead, Godzilla.
Hey, my pedo tolerance level is not very good, Mr. Dew. It's probably on par with Mr. Jones, you know, screaming about this as we speak right now.
Yeah.
There's probably kids still getting tortured, screaming their brains out and getting raped. You know, and it's horrible to think about that these vampires are just on the loose. But it's been in lore since the vampire panic of 1620s, you know. Vampire is one of the only, well, vampire, but the original word is vampir, is one of the only Serbian words that spread worldwide because of it. You know, and it's interesting, in the original lore, it wasn't just the blood sucking, but it was also what they called pressing, which is interesting in our current situation where feeling-wise, energy-wise, mood-wise, financially, the vampires would press the villagers. And it was contagious also, where certain vampires, like you saw, would bite other vampires, and then it would spread to them. And you can see how with this Epstein, it's contagious. And this is all these unanswered questions that are on my mind with these emails and latest revelations. You know, there's rumors that why Trump is like this, as I agree with him, is that, you know, they took the shot at him. You know, you're going up against these vampire satanic death cults that have assassins. It's like, yeah, let's get on their radar and put a bullseye bigger than Dallas on my back. Other rumors I heard is that Epstein put hands on Ivanka, but that's not been corroborated, you know. And Trump is clearly, you know, especially with the latest document being released, on the opposite end of this, you know. Maybe he's part of a different secret society, but he's been on this since the beginning, even in his first presidency, talking about it. Remember that one interview, one news reporter who asked him, like, there's a Q rumor that says that you're going against the satanic blood-drinking occult cabal. And he was like, oh, yeah, and that's a bad thing. You know, I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah,
but
no, he said, is that supposed to be a bad thing?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good to me. You know, it sounds...
Yep.
He didn't give it to him. It seemed like, you know, kind of an offhanded Trump comment. But, you know, a lot of people looked at that and said, wow, he, you know, and they thought back then, it was like, oh, he's serious. The gloves are off. And we haven't quite seen it yet. I got a John Solomon video. Let's go to that. He was on Dan Bongino's show. And not that I watched Dan Bongino's show, because, you know, you're getting yesterday's news 5 months after it happened. As far as I'm concerned, he's just going to play it safe at this point. But this is a 2-minute clip. He's talking about what he thinks we're going to see coming up with the election integrity issues. And I have a bunch of little election integrity clips that I'll probably play in the third hour. But let's hear what John Solomon has to say. He thinks that we're going to see some real disclosures, and then they're going to change their tune about the filibuster. But here it is.
Now we have a bunch of lazy senators who want to threaten the filibuster and not get off their feet and talk and really represent the people and stand for what they believe in. And all the American people are asking John Thune to do is to restore the Senate to the way it used to work before Mitch McConnell's lazy filibuster ideas kind of came into play. And I think that the American people are going to be there. Here's what I think is going to happen, Dan. And I think you probably know some of this because you had a foresight into some of the things that the Bureau now knows that was kept from the American public. I think Donald Trump is going to change the narrative in America. I think he's going to change some senators' minds, and he's going to do it by revealing some of the things that Chris Wray and that Chris Krebs and other major officials who were in charge of the integrity of our elections and who told us it was a perfect election in 2020. He's going to start revealing some of the intelligence that was kept from the American people. And we're going to see that our foreign adversaries have monkeyed with our system more than we knew, more than those driver's licenses coming into Chicago that you helped get all of us to understand about a few months ago, about China sending fake driver's licenses to help Joe Biden in. There are going to be significant efforts by foreign powers, some friends, some enemies, that were trying to meddle in the system, and they got pretty far down that path. And I think when senators realize their state could have been targeted, when senators realize that the intention of the identities of some of their voters might have been assumed, I think there's going to be a different debate in America. And I think if the president takes the time to educate people and show them that maybe the stories we got from the last leadership weren't true, I think he's going to pick off the votes. And then the American people are going to put some pressure on John Thune, and they're going to surgically implant a stiff back, and he's going to change that filibuster for this particular thing, make it a standing filibuster, make the Democrats talk to the drop, and then we'll get a vote in the summer. But I think there's some big, significant, and very troubling revelations about the vulnerabilities of our elections that the president is about to unveil on the American public.
And you can see he's been leaking things. I mean, these are just a few videos we'll probably play of. There, here's one that just shows, you put the overhead camera on this, and we don't have to show them, but it shows that there's two exact markers for Biden, and they're in two different batches. So like the same ballot was run twice. Here's a guy talking about the deceased voters and the over 2,000 people that were to vacant lots and burned down homes that had invalid addresses. Here's a guy looking at the registered voters. You know, it was nearly 100% of the eligible voting population voted in Pennsylvania, and typically it's around 60. And then this is kind of a breakdown of the voting machines. So all this stuff is slowly getting dropped by Trump and other people that are putting it out there. We saw Tulsi Gabbard at the I knew Jones was going to see that jumpsuit and didn't want a picture in it. That is pretty badass, isn't it? This is a happen off the seas. Jones just came in and talked to me real quick during the break, but one of our guys, come on in here, show people this. This is funny.
I'm a little bigger than Dan, but he's got the best sense of humor.
That is the coolest tracksuit ever. Jones, I didn't know you were at Fort Huachuca. Yeah, we got proof Alex Jones is at Fort Huachuca right there. There's his tracksuit. So what was your event? Were you a high jumper?
Let's see how I look at the seat. Get it. Host the show.
You're now Fort Huachuca.
Hello, hey, look at Rob's hosting in the shorts. That's how you doing. Man, this is, all right, hey, how do you order this online? Damn, will you get me an extra large, please? I've got to have this. I've got to have this.
He said it's vintage, one of a kind.
Oh, no, crap.
Although there's people that do this. They take this old design and they redo it.
Oh, I've got to have this. I mean, this is just.
Fort Huachuca, baby.
Now you know I'm in on it. I'm going to stop. Sorry. The Prince Andrew stuff's huge.
You think it's big? Yeah. Or do you think it's a ploy just to kind of...
Well, of course it's a ploy, because yeah. They're not about to give classified information to Epstein.
Right. But you notice that's what they're mad about. They're mad about classified information.
Well, they're using that as a diversion. But I mean, King Charles is like best buddies with Jimmy Savile, actual, which was Satanism, blood-drinking, murdering kids, all confirmed. So look at this. I mean, this is like next level, dude. This is only one of a kind. You got an vintage thing?
Yeah, check out it. He's got a shirt right there. It's a Fort Huachuca shirt.
Oh, my God.
See, you got to know where to go online. That's,
okay, well, hey, will you give me an extra large one of these, and I'll pay back? Well, you said one of a kind. Did you have it made, or it's a vintage? Oh, it's vintage.
Yeah.
Well, I got to lose 80 pounds I can wear it properly. I want to be Russian gangster. Like, we like Putin here. All right, I'm done.
Do a slob squat.
Back to the.
I'm going to go ahead and honor the Fort Huachuca tracksuit. I'm going to do a slob squat for the rest of the show. I couldn't believe I saw that in sword. I'm like, does that say Fort Huachuca? He's like, yeah. All right, just a little bit of fun. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Lee in Kansas. Met the AI robot Sophia with the DOD. Tell us about your meeting, Lee. How's it going today?
I'm doing well. How are we doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. So what, you met this AI robot?
Yes, that is correct. I used to work for the Department of Defense. I was a welder, and I worked on a base up in Maine, and we had a Defense Department meeting, a big conference up there, and they brought in a lot of new technology that we got to take a look at, in, including welding machines, and they brought Sophia, that AI robot, from, I believe it's MIT, and actually was part of a question and answer with it, asking various different questions of engineering, sciences, and I kind of stuck to theology, which made some people not real happy with me, but I thought it was a very poignant topic to discuss with a robot, considering, you know, this is an artificial
Hold on, let me ask you a question real quick. Did this robot look like a human? It had, like, the rubberized skin and all that?
Oh, yes. If you look up Sophia, you'll see exactly what it looks like. It's a machine, you know, and it looks just like these robots you were showing on your video clips.
Right.
Except it stood, it walked, and it could talk and have a very intelligent conversation with you. And so it was just really interesting because they had so many other things at this conference, like the Ocean Gate submarine. They had it there. I got to touch that thing. This was a year and a half before it went down and the Titanic and got destroyed. We also got to look at various welding machines because I was a welder and a union officer. I got to take a look at different processes and ways that they were considering using in the construction field.
Right.
But Sophia was the most interesting one because it gave some of the most interesting answers that even the engineers were sitting there listening to it going, we've never came across this.
We never thought about asking a theological question to the robot.
I'm sorry?
I said they probably never thought about asking a theological question to the robot.
No, I think that's what they said. Remember, this was a few years ago. But yeah, they just never had discussed it because they're more interested in, you know, what can it compute? What problems can it fix or you know, come up with answers to? How can it be used? And that was all part of the question and answers. How could we utilize you to the best of your potential was one question. And it brought up those different points was, you know, handling mathematical problems or creating some kind of a new piece of machinery. I said, you know, and I kind of jokingly said, well, how about, you know, cleaning my house. I remember that comment because everybody kind of looked at me real bad, like, why would you ask it that? I said, well, how about, like, cleaning my house? Growing up, we had the cartoons that showed a robot was running around the house. I don't need a robot to do, you know, mathematics for me. I need a robot to, you know, clean my kitchen or wipe the, you know, clean the windows, things like that. What did it think of that? And it said it was able to utilize that, you know, that it could see robots being used that way. The problem is that all of these things that we were looking at also takes away jobs from Americans or just from people in general.
Yeah.
You know, we need house cleaners, but we also need welders and we need engineers and we need, you know, somebody to drive the bus or drive the taxi.
And, you know, you look at the robot arms at some of these factories, you know, car making factories, and they're going in and doing those welds really quickly and moving around. They don't need to take breaks. They don't need to take lunch. So, but are they good? Do they work? And is maybe, you know, there's definitely jobs being taken away in that. We're showing some footage right now. I mean, and this is 20-year-old technology that we're using with these robots. But these humanoid robots, yeah, they are going to take more jobs. And what are we going to do with the humans that are sitting around not having jobs?
Well, we utilized one for a process that we needed to build a lot of these particular items. But the process exposed anybody that was working on it to hexavalent chromium, which is what causes a lot of cancers.
Yeah.
And so we, for a year and a half, we tested it, tweaked it and everything, and we came up with this just using the one robotic arm. And we did have an operator that worked with it, but they had to stay a certain amount of distance away so they weren't exposed to the hexavalent chromium that was coming from that welding process. And it worked fantastic. So it does help in certain ways because there's still somebody working, but you don't have a lot of people being exposed to those toxic chemicals on a constant basis. Even if they have all kinds of ventilation and protection on their body,
right,
they're still exposed in some way.
And yeah, that's heavy metal too. And is that used as the welding? Is that used as like the, I don't know what you call the weld, I guess the material you use to make the weld, is that where it's being used at, or is it actually just burn off in the process?
It's coming from the material we were using to feed together. And it's part of the smoke that comes off of it.
Yeah, just a little bit of chromium smoke. Don't worry about it, kids.
Yeah, Exactly. Yeah. Well, but it does, you know, as, you know, they've pointed out in several movies about how bad this stuff is. But the product that we work on is absolutely necessary. It's a fantastic product. That's fantastic metal. But it needs to be welded together. Sure. Somebody or something has to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, while it's taking away jobs, it's also helping protect people from getting those kinds of exposures.
Well, Lee, that was probably the most interesting call we've had today. I could probably talk to you for another hour, but I got like 3 minutes left till we go to break, and then I have a guest coming in. But thank you for your call. It was very interesting and enlightening. We're going to have Lila Hart in here in the next segment, or actually the next, we got the 5 minute segment, and then we'll have her in right after that. See what's going on with her. Let's go to Rick in Salado, Texas. He has a what if on Epstein. Go ahead, Rick.
Put him up there pretty high in the empire of Satan. And I would say he slots right there next to the counterfeit John the Baptist. I would say that he probably got away with murder, of course, and got away from being murdered. He's out there somewhere, and he must be somewhere on Mount Nebo or up there in the Swiss Alps or maybe even made it to the ISS. Where do you think he's in command and control?
I think a guy like that, he's served his masters, and they're probably send him on some retirement if he didn't die there. And, you know, you look at those pictures and you look at the ears, it doesn't look like the same guy who was in the cell is the same guy who they carried out of the cell.
I would say he's alive somewhere pulling some more strings. I would say retirement, a guy like that, I think Satan would really want him still in the fight for the evil side.
Well, yeah, but I think the way he was able to operate was because he was in society. He was able to do these things and kind of run around with impunity, and they set him up with so much money. He just had this buffer around him where he could kind of do whatever he wanted, and no one ever held him accountable for anything because he wasn't, you know, he was high level and he's protected by multiple intelligence agencies. He had multiple passports.
Well, he better enjoy his time on Earth, because that guy's going to be in purgatory for, you know, that's what, forever?
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely going to get judged if he's not already being judged right now. Yep, I guess that's it. That Rick went off there. So coming up next, I want you guys, there's this, I love these AI cartoons. From Timeline Junkie Films, they put out a kind of a what-if conversation between Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. And then we're going to play clip 17. It's Alex Jones' voiceover to Serpent in the Rainbow when they were talking about scopolamine. I guess when he gets hit with the scopolamine, which is the zombie drug. But we'll be right back. And then we're going to have our guest, Lila Hart, in studio. So stay tuned. Buckle up. We're still going with the American Journal. Thank you for watching.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS, Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
What about a car bomb?
It won't be enough firepower. Plus, it'll take too long to get there. Guards and countermeasures will take it before it even hits the barricade.
Hey, it worked in Oklahoma.
And it failed in 93.
Well, practice makes perfect. But as it stands, I don't think George is going to buy it. You may have Crystal and his boys fooled, but it's just not enough. That's all I'm saying. It's not enough.
If you don't stop arguing with me, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face. We're running out of time here.
I know we are. And on top of that, I've still got to schedule that godforsaken press conference.
That's another thorn in my rear end. If they're shoveling and fudging numbers that big, we've got to get a handle on the military and get Tenet on our side. Who knows what Clinton was up to? I mean, Jesus, I know black budgets are pricey, but $2 trillion? How do you even spend that?
Well, for mankind and for science.
Turn it off. Turn it off. Right now. Boom.
I mean,
yep, we got 20 more subsidies, right about this size. This one's even got an Outback Steakhouse.
It adds up.
Gentlemen, we've finally done it. We've turned the frogs gay.
This is the proudest day of my life.
You'd be surprised what things cost. What about a missile?
How in the fuck would Saddam get a missile here?
They've got a navy.
Two-thirds of it doesn't exist because we make sure the ships never arrive, so they've only got four missile boats with a range of not shit. So try again, SecDef.
The technocrats, as the world's ruling elite call themselves, are incredibly selfish people. And they admit that they have a plan to balkanize nations and turn peoples against each other so they can be easily ruled via divide and conquer. But first, the nation state itself must be taken over by private corporate combines, and foreign groups then need to be brought in who are clothed and fed and brainwashed by the state to be destabilization forces. Now, this is not my opinion. On screen is an article from 2012 from the BBC that's promoting world government via open borders. And it says the EU should undermine national homogeneity, says UN migration chief, should open the borders to Africa and to the Middle East to then bring in the groups who are not from free countries to force Europeans to then adopt systems that will not, quote, upset the Islamicist and others. This is the program. And they say it is to, quote, replace Europeans. Then they teach in the news that white people are fundamentally evil and fundamentally bad and need to be gotten rid of, and that white genocide is now taught in colleges.
Anything pressure?
All right, we just put together that little hodgepodge. The first video was referencing a few things. One, the gay frogs, and also the $2 trillion in missing transactions that the Pentagon had. Right, they had a press conference on 9/10, right before 9/11.
Wow.
In 2001, and Donald Rumsfeld goes, yeah, we don't know where $2 trillion is. And I like the part where they said, well, how do you spend that kind of money? And we got teleportation chambers, we're turning frogs gay, we're building underground cities. That's how you spend $2 trillion. You just spend it and you make things. And who, you just let these mad scientists run wild. My guest is Lila Hart. And then we went to the scopolamine video from The Serpent and the Rainbow. And what was funny is I said, yeah, that's that zombie drug. She goes, Epstein was growing that. So, like, the Epstein knowledge is getting, is going everywhere. That wasn't even a big deal, but it was in the Epstein emails. So
Well, it's amazing that people are starting to finally wake up.
Yeah.
You know, so.
When did you first hear about Epstein? We got about 20 seconds.
2020.
2020?
So,
okay.
You know, I woke up and it was a very hard time, but I'm glad to be where I'm at now.
Yeah, exactly. It's empowering when you really know what's going on. And then you're like, oh, the stuff that shouldn't make sense is now making sense. We got a whole segment with Lila coming up. We're going to find out what she's been up to. I first met her a couple years ago. So we'll be right back after this short break and with the third hour of the American Journal. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
He's pounded down, loaded up and
trucking. That's right. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. My guest is Lila Hart. You can check out all her information at lilahart.com. She's a comedian. She's a host. And you were here in Austin doing a callback audition?
Yes, for a TV show. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. Well, I wish you the best with that. We were just talking during the break about the awakening. You said you woke up to Epstein in 2020. And, you know, before that, we've been talking about Epstein for years before that. We've been playing clips of Alex Jones talking about the pedophile cult since, early 2000s. He's talking about it before then, but that's when we had, you know, TV of it. But like you were talking about the awakening process, and everybody has their own time when they come awake.
Exactly.
And yours was in 2020, but like you're glad to see the awakening. So talk about
so
that a little
bit. I'm so glad to see the awakening of the people that are waking up now. I know some people are upset that like, oh, I've been fighting since 2020 and now people are just waking up, but we all had our moment. So to see it become a little bit more mainstream to me is exciting. Also, I'm happy that I went through my awakening in 2020 because it's very painful to go through it. So we have to have some love and compassion for some of these people who are going through the Epstein files, it's very shocking when you first go through it. I don't know. Did you see that video of the man in the Atlanta airport that was screaming at everybody?
Screaming at everybody, yeah.
Being like, what are you guys doing? Everyone should be angry. And I was like, that was me in 2020. I had a big meltdown and freak out, but back then, if you spoke out against anything, you were banned, you were blocked, your pages were taken down. So, you know, that was part of why I think, you know, the awakening has happened as slow as it's happened, but at least thank God it's happening now.
Well, I think it's been accelerating I was in college in the 90s reading books like None Dare Call It Conspiracy and like looking at the global power structure, and just, I knew what we were being told was a lie. I had voted for Bill Clinton in 92, but then I quickly was like, nah, this guy's not the right person. There's something else going on. Somebody else is pulling his strings. And, you know, you look at, you know, it's the Rockefellers. They kind of propped this guy up and put him into office. They kind of picked him, and he might even been related to him through like an illicit affair that happened, cause Bill Clinton's mom was a prostitute. So you've got all this long, slow burn of the awakening happening. And then I think it accelerated during the COVID lockdown.
Oh, absolutely.
People were like, whoa, wait a minute.
I mean, that's exactly what happened to me. And for me, it was 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first 2 weeks, I was all about it. I was like, okay, I'll wear my mask.
Right.
They're saying I'll be a good person. Yes. they're saying that there's this virus going around. You know, we don't have much information, but after about 2 weeks, and it was still continuing to go, that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I don't want to wear this mask. This feels very controlled. And I was in Los Angeles during 2020 with my husband. And, you know, it was a very scary time because if you weren't wearing your mask, people would scream at you.
You get shamed.
They would yell at you. But I remember this a specific moment. I was in Trader Joe's, and me and my husband weren't wearing a mask, and this older gentleman came up to us, and he goes, "We don't have to wear the mask." I'm like, "Not if you don't want to."
Oh, wow.
And he took off his mask.
He woke up.
And he had tears in his eyes.
Wow.
Like, and I, you know, that moment sticks out for me so much because you have to, when you're brave and you speak out or you do something different, you can encourage other people. So I encourage everybody online now who's just waking up, continue to speak out. And for those people who have been awake, you know, have some compassion for those who are just waking up now. I know it can be irritating to be like, why haven't you woken up sooner? I've been trying to tell you this whole time, but it happens for everybody when it's supposed to happen and when they're ready. So.
That's true. Yeah. Cause not everybody's ready at that time. They can, you know, it could really cross some wires. I was in an HEB, and I had my mask off, and I'm shopping, and everybody had their masks on. And I see this lady down the way. I'm like, oh, she doesn't have her mask on. I get closer. I'm like, oh, I know this person. So that's how – and she was like, yeah, I'm not wearing a mask either. And she was, you know, I didn't know what her politics were or anything, but she was my wife's friend. And I'm like, okay, great. We're having an effect. And, you know, because she's like, look, the studies are out there. This thing doesn't even stop the disease. It's all bull. And it's just basically trying to create what it was trying to do was mark people.
Yes.
Cause there's people who are with the system and people who are not going to listen and not going to, you know, not go with the New World Order. And that was one way of finding out who was on team A or team B, the
Absolutely.
Dimensions. Cause we definitely were living in different dimensions and we still are. I saw this report about Apple News. I don't know where you get your news from, but if you're getting it from Apple News, it's basically all from the left. It's not even balanced in any way whatsoever. And I think that's done on purpose to keep people in a place where, you know, you're wondering why so many people are out in Minnesota protesting ICE. Well, that's why, because they read Apple News and they're like, ICE is bad. ICE is fascist. ICE is this, you know, so they've been trained on how to act.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's been so difficult is the fact that people were banned in silence. So thank God for this platform of InfoWars. And I'm so grateful for every opportunity I get to be on here because, you know, we're allowed to actually speak and talk without that fear.
I mean, we didn't have any pre-interview questions. I actually texted Brianna last night. She said she met up with you last night and said, you know, if you want to have her, I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll have anybody on. I don't mind. I love having time with people, talking one-on-one, especially because you really get to the meat of, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, and that's why I like taking calls too, you know, because you really get different perspectives. We had a DOD guy who was a welder. You know, can you imagine you're welding, you know, secret pieces of equipment together? Who knows what it's going to do, you know, making teleportation chambers and whatnot. But, you know, it just goes to this, I think that's where you get the best information out. It's like podcasting, I think, is so popular now because people are hungry for real stuff and they don't mind if it takes an hour to get to the 15-minute point, you know, it's somewhere.
Well, exactly. And the thing is we need to be having conversations, whether you're on the left and or the right. It's when you block people from having the conversations and being able to ask the questions, that's when you really have the problems. And so also for me, part of my awakening is when they we're forcing everyone to take the COVID vaccine shots. Mm-hmm. That's when I really was like, this is a red flag, okay? Because it's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right.
And the fact that it was like, everybody must take it, and you can get a free cheeseburger if you take it, and then, you know, you'll lose your job if you don't take it, and you know what the crazy
thing? Can't go to a concert if you don't take it.
Can't go to a concert, can't go to a restaurant, can't perform at a comedy club.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened to me.
Ah,
and that's part of why I ended up moving to the great state of Texas.
Yeah.
Because in 2021, this is when they were really implementing the vaccine passports.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to take the COVID vaccine, but I also, because of my medical history, did have medical paperwork that stated that I was recommended by my doctor to not take the shot. And 3 days after, I had an amazing show at the Ford Amphitheater performing in front of 800 people. I went to the Comedy Store on Sunset to go into the Comedy Store, and they would not let me in.
Do you have certain papers?
Well, they asked to see my paperwork. And I was like, you know what? Actually, in my bag, I do have my medical record
right.
with a doctor's note.
Which you shouldn't have to show anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I did have a negative COVID test from right. that week. So they had me standing outside for 30 minutes. And then the manager came up to me and he was like, Lila, we could actually take your, we'll take these medical papers. We can scan them. We'll put them in our files. And then in 3 days, we'll send you an email and you could come back. And I was like, this is, first of all, this is, like, this is discrimination against someone with a disability. And then also think about this. I thought the COVID vaccine was to protect the elderly right. and the people with disabilities or, yeah. and so it's like, you're supposed to be protecting
immune systems,
people like me, yeah. but now I'm not allowed in here.
Right.
And the part that really, really pissed me off is as I was leaving, the security guard said to me, Lila, you should have just shown us a fake vaccine card
oh, right.
and we would have let you in.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew this entire thing was complete BS because you are knowingly allowing people to have fake vaccine cards. So what does that let you know? That you know that this isn't real,
right.
but the people who are getting the fake vaccine cards, you're promoting this to your fans. You're promoting this to your people. And it's like, if all those people who got fake vaccine cards would have just spoken up and said, hey, I don't believe in this. I don't want to do this. We wouldn't be in the position that we are now. And the funny thing to me now is anybody I've met in 2026, there's nobody that I've met that's like, oh yeah, I took the COVID vaccine and it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Most people I've met is, I took it. I didn't really want to take it, but I needed to take it for my job, and I deeply regret it.
Now I have health issues. Now I'm always yes. sick. Now there's always something that happens. And I got pretty sick from COVID, but when I knew it was fake was, you know, when I was, it was about 5 days in, and I talked to Dr. Bartlett, and he's like, you know, ivermectin, azithromycin, zinc. I think I was taking baby aspirin just to thin the blood a little bit, and there's one more thing. Oh, budesonide, because I had a bad cough, and that's, and I had that through a nebulizer. And in 2 days, literally, my symptoms were totally reversed.
Wow.
And I was like bedridden, and then I was like, in 2 days, I was still didn't feel great, but I was able to get up and like pack all my stuff up. I was stuck in Lake Tahoe with one of our security guys. I actually went on a trip with Alex and got sick there, which is also, you know, it's like, you're in a foreign place and you're in California and you're like, oh God, these people are going to like crucify me if they find out I have COVID, you know? So I was stuck in a hotel room. I was getting room service and just, I barely eat soup. I lost 30 pounds.
Oh,
it was,
goodness.
It was crazy. But by just taking a few, two prescribed medicines and then some vitamins, boom, it changed like immediately. And I'm like, this is totally fake. I knew they were lying to us, but until it happens to you physically
yes.
and you feel it, you're like, oh my God, everything's fake. No way am I ever going to take that vaccine. And I told my kids, I said, don't ever take anything from the government, especially if it's free. Because if it's free, there's definitely strings attached, whatever
oh,
it is.
Absolutely. And how crazy is it that the mainstream media did not promote, hey, that there's a way to get better. There's a way to, and wanting
no, they demonize people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And demonize people for going outside,
yeah.
getting fresh air, vitamin D, and it was just absolutely horrible, and I think that we need to not forget what they did.
Right.
You know?
And we need to hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
Definitely need to hold them accountable. In fact, I have, hey guys, let's play clip 16. I don't know if we'll play the whole thing because it's 3 minutes long, but let's go to clip 16. This is Tulsi Gabbard talking about an investigation into Anthony Fauci, which I think is long overdue.
But the thing that we are working with Jay Bhattacharya, the new NIH director on with, as well as Secretary Kennedy, is looking at the gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other bio labs around the world, was actually U.S. funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Well, let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan
right.
lab to create, to do gain-of-function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in?
Yeah, Megan, we can
are,
say that.
We
you
are
can.
Working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain of function research
and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because, just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right, under oath.
Under oath, exactly. So is it any wonder that he sought a preemptive pardon for anything during a certain period of time by President Biden before he left office?
And then strong-armed and smeared people like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, anybody who came out and said, I don't know if that's natural. This actually smacks of lab.
And the reason why this is so important is not just what happened in the past. It's because this gain-of-function research is happening in biolabs around the world. I got attacked, and I think you saw this. We've probably talked about it on your show before, when I warned against U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine when the Russia-Ukraine war kicked off for this very reason. Who knows what kinds of pathogens are in these labs and, if released, could create another COVID-like pandemic. And for that, I was called a Russian asset. You're, you know, trumpeting Putin's talking points, all of this nonsense. Simply for speaking the truth and stating facts that, by the way, are still on U.S. Embassy Ukraine's website today about how the U.S. has funded these biolabs in Ukraine. But in order to, my point is, in order to prevent another COVID-like pandemic or another major health incident that could affect us in the world, we have to end this gain-of-function research and provide the evidence that shows exactly why and how it's in our best interest, the American people's best interest, to bring about an end to it.
All right. That was Tulsi Gabbard with Megyn Kelly. And so, you know, Megyn Kelly doesn't know the story about Ralph Baric funding this starting in North Carolina in 2014, doing this under Obama. And actually Obama had some sense and said, hey, we're not going to do it here in the United States anymore. So they just go, okay, we'll just move it to China. We'll just move it to Ukraine. We'll do whatever we want. And like Baric was working with Xi Jinping, the lady in China at Wuhan who was working with the bat viruses. All right. I can put it together because I just read these things and look at old newspaper articles and go, okay, I see what's happening here. That's what they're doing. And so it kind of pisses me off when people like Megyn Kelly, like, we don't know what's going on. And, but it's good to see Tulsi Gabbard in there, who is a former Democrat and like switched over and said, you know what? I cannot be with this party. They're lunatics. And that's the problem. They're lunatics. It's run by lunatics.
Absolutely. And again, it's very important for people to speak up. And I think God rewards bravery.
Yep.
And over time, the truth will come out. Again, I'm just so grateful to have woken up when I did. And I just hope that the awakening keeps speeding up, like you said, and it is happening. And, you know, even on TikTok, when I've been on, it's crazy to see that it's now some of these things, especially with the Epstein files, are becoming more mainstream and people are getting angry. More people need to get angry. Yeah. And more people need to not forget what they did to us. We were lied to. We were absolutely lied to. Our voices were silenced and shunned, and we were demonized for speaking the truth. And, you know, if the vaccines were so great, then everybody wouldn't know what the word myocarditis means.
That's true.
And we all know what myocarditis is. It's become
and pericarditis and
turbo cancer.
Embolisms, you know, thrombic embolisms in your lungs. It's all these weird medical things that didn't really exist beforehand or were very rare. Now it's like, oh, it's commonplace. Everybody's dying of bowel cancer at this point, or lung cancer, or brain cancer. You know, it's just, it's totally ridiculous. What do you have like your fan base? Is it like half woke, half not? I mean, what do you find when you're out and about, like at a club? Do you get hit some jokes that like hit the wrong way because you got a group of like Karens in the audience, or?
I try to perform my comedy to where that anybody in the audience could truly enjoy it, but I think that there is a lot more people who are awake to things, and I've had a lot of people come up to me that say, I'm a real big fan of your work. Me and my husband made a documentary film called American History of Voter Fraud, and where we talked about voter fraud, which, you know, now in 2026, a lot of people can agree, even on the left and the right, that there is some fraud at least.
Oh, yeah, something. I was just showing some videos. I didn't get much into it, but, you know, the ballots that are look exactly the same, the way the ink moves is exactly the same in two different ballots, supposedly, in two different scan things. We're seeing it up on the screen right now. You can see that little little bump off to the bottom left. And look, same one. Oh, and it's from two different batches. There's batch 92, or ballot 92 from batch 235. Oh, and this is also batch 234, ballot 33. Same batch. And what they were doing was they would run the ballots. So they'd have 100 in a stack, and they get to like 85. And then an error would happen. And instead of like, oh, let's reset it to zero, they would just run the ballots again. And so it was just double counting ballots. And they would do it. I think they were doing this on purpose. I don't think this is neglect. And it's because it's happening in just, you know, five different cities. They're like, oh, it wasn't widespread. Yeah, it didn't need to be widespread. You only needed it in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and where were the other? Detroit, Michigan. You only needed those four places to go for Biden.
And I truly believe that the COVID, that whole debacle was to really push mail-in voting the mail-in ballots. Because when I was living in L.A., I received 9 ballots at my house that I could have easily filled out and sent in.
And now what did you do with those ballots when you got them? Did you shred them or did you turn them back in?
We just kept them, but we didn't do anything with them. But it was, this is again when we were just starting to wake up of like, you know, something's very suspicious
this
is going
right.
on. Yeah, what is happening here? And
it has one person, one vote. Why do I have 9? You know?
Exactly.
That's crazy. So, what's going on with you? I saw that you were doing some, you're called a micro wrestlers. You're kind of like the performer, ringleader of this group.
Well, I am currently on tour with a group called the Micro Maidens. Check us out at micromaidens.com. We are performing all over the country, and I perform stand-up comedy and host the show, and the rest of the ladies are burlesque dancers. So it's a fun 3-hour show, and if you could believe it or not, I actually am the tallest performer on the show, standing at a towering 4'6" tall.
Wow.
Our smallest performer is actually 2'10" tall.
2'10". That's amazing.
The show is a lot of fun, but I also think in a lot of ways it's inspiring too, because you get to see people of all different sizes and, you know, performing all over the country. I've almost performed in all 50 states. The only one I'm missing is Alaska. So if I could get a comedy show in Alaska, I'll be able to say I've done all 50 states.
All 50 states. That's amazing.
But I meet a lot of really incredible people. And like I said, when I'm out, you know, and I'm meeting people in real life and I'm having these conversations, a lot of people will tell you, yeah, I got the shot. I really regret it though. Mm-hmm. Or got the shot and got diagnosed with something. And there's, for me, traveling around and meeting people, I have not met one person who's like, yeah, I got it. And I'm really proud of my decision. Even the people who were like gung ho about it are like, now here in 2026 with all the information that's come out, and at least thank God now we're able to, you know, speak about it, but.
And post about it.
And post about it. But the thing is too, it's like I am really grateful to be able to do stand up in real life and meet real life people from all over the country, because there's a lot of people on our side who are just afraid to actually speak out online. But if you go out into the world and you meet people and you have these conversations, you'll realize a lot more people are awake.
Right. And that leftist echo chamber is big and it is powerful, but it's not, I think it's in the minority overall. They just have a way to amplify it because most of the media is left and they're just like, no, this is how everybody thinks. Everybody thinks you should wear a mask. Everybody thinks you should be locked down. Everybody thinks the government's always right and that the election was totally secure. It was the most secure election of all time because the media said it.
How incredible is that they had to say the most secure election of all time? The fact that you even have to make that statement lets us know that there has been ongoing election fraud for many, many years since the beginning. So the fact that you have to make that statement is already very suspicious.
Yep, exactly. So LilaHart.com, LilaHart.com is your website. People can check out all the work she's doing. You can follow her on X at Love Lila Hart, or Love Lil, Love Lila Hart on X, and I follow you, so I love seeing what you're doing out there. So thanks
for
coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll be right back. Darren McBreen's going to be in studio if he didn't chicken out.
I have told the folks at Begley, I said I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the murdered out black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it murdered out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end, so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Vlice Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The skull crusher is as big. Alex Jones Phantom folding knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run, sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, really strong, very well made. And you've got it in orange, Alex Jones burnt orange folding knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones ring blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue. And take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
The most unassuming man in voiceover, Sean Mitchell, brings me into the final segment of The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Duke. Thank you for joining me. You can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. And over here, my office mate, Darren McBreen.
For what, 16 years?
It's been so long. I think we've been in that office longer than any other. I, you know, where the InfoWars logo is where my desk used to be in the old studio when that was just nothing but, cubicles back in the day, like 2009 and 10.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
It's been long and, we don't know how long we're still going to be here. We're going to be here, you know, at least until March, and we're going to see,
Mike?
We're going to see what happens. And I think we're having an audio issue. But, hey, you know what? I'll put the mic in between us and we can just, we'll get closer if we need to. But I guess Lila blew out the mic. She was in here earlier. Check and see where that goes. See if it's plugged into the bottom. Maybe you you didn't unplug that inadvertently. Yeah. So anyway, you were telling me earlier that you've got a couple videos, one of which is an Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan video. So maybe we can go to that. Do we have, give me a thumbs up. Do we have audio? Oh, we have, okay, we have audio. Okay, all right, so go ahead.
I want to throw to this before we go to it.
Yeah.
Because I watched this, and it's from a couple of years ago. We don't have audio. Okay.
Okay. Well, clip. Yeah, we'll play the clip, and we're going to fix this. This is Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan.
You guys know what Pizzagate is about?
Oh, I'd love to hear, Eddie.
Are you familiar with it?
Pizzagate?
Yes.
No, but sounds dope. No.
Yes, okay. I do.
You know, I've never heard of it. Please explain to me.
So, I'm not going to explain it. I'm not even going to get to it, but
it's
all I'm going to say.
Eddie, before you go into it, it's been debunked. It's the biggest bunch
it's
of bull. It's fake news. They proved it's fake news.
You're so
and if
on
you
that
believe
side.
That,
you're so
it's
on
ridiculous.
That
it's
you're
the so big. So the Democratic, the power structure in the Democratic Party are pedophiles, and they all communicate with each other with those secret paddles. Is this what we're going to go
we're
into?
We're going to pop off like
Eddie,
this.
Eddie,
we're
going to
kick the Cuban off like this.
It was proven to be a horseshit story. If you buy into it, the joke is on you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Did you hear what? That's very unbelievable. It's incredible.
So what is the, so are you saying what? Are you saying that the power
listen,
structure
you know what, this is what I'm saying.
Come on.
This is
ridiculous.
What?
But hold on a second.
This is what I'm saying is it's so fucking dark. All the shit Alex Jones has been saying. He's been saying all that Pizzagate shit for 20 years. He's been saying everyone thought he was, you couldn't believe anything he said because of the things he's saying. Now, when you look at Pizzagate, all that shit he was saying that everyone thought he was crazy for, that's real now.
It's a fake news story, Eddie.
Dude.
It's a fake news story. Every credible news organization's editorial
like
board went, it's
CNN?
All
bullshit. CNN?
Like, I don't know.
All right, let's pause for a second. Because I think we got a little bit more to digest with that. But that's interesting because what Brian Callen, or Callum, I don't know his name, but yep. What he was saying was probably, yeah, it was discredited from mainstream media outlets because all they said was, it's this pizza place over here. Mm-hmm. This is where they're saying everything's happening. And we're going, no, John Podesta emails.
Well, it's a sleight of hand. And basically, I love this clip because it is the stereotypical example of what it was like and still is with us when we argue with a family member over Thanksgiving dinner table or a friend's family, neighbors, that sort of thing. That's the reaction. And they defend the official narrative with, I mean, passionately. He was pissed, you know. And look, it's been debunked. And one thing I've learned working here at InfoWars for the past 16 years, we receive the most flack when we're right over the target. And remember what happened when Pizzagate was going on. I mean, late night comedy hosts were making fun of us. The media went absolutely ballistic, which means we were directly over the target.
You know, and they did that with, before that was Jade Helm. Remember Jade Helm?
Absolutely.
It was the Army running around, and basically the Army was learning how to use kind of and analyze and react to social media in real time, in real time scenarios. Mm-hmm. So they would go into a country and they would have somebody basically looking at social media to know if people were coming to kind of analyze it. Sort of like what you see with the leftists over in Minnesota, how they coordinate. They're coordinating through, you know, chat rooms and mm-hmm. signals, and then they have their game plan. We're going to do this. We're going to have cars, you know, parked here. And we call it commuting. We're not going to call it following. We call it commuting now. We're commuting wherever ICE is going. We're commuting with them. And they're doing all this with precision. You could tell it's organized. You could tell it's funded. And so that was the sort of what Jade Helm was the Army working on what's being used by the left right now.
And with Jade Helm, it's what they say. They always say, what I remember about Jade Helm, which is a huge military exercise back, 2012?
2012, yeah.
And it was a military exercise where they practiced taking away average citizens' guns, and it was a martial law type of exercise. Well, the media ran with it, and they said, Alex Jones says that this summer there's going to be martial law,
right,
which he never said that. He said that it's an exercise.
They're training.
They're training for it. And so they went crazy with that. So, but with, particularly with the Pizzagate thing, I mean, they went nuts. And you see how it worked on that guy that was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he's defending it with everything. Now, there's another clip in there, and this is hard to watch for me because it just pisses me off. But this is Trump recently saying that he does not like the fact that Bill Clinton and others are being exposed in the Epstein files. Check this out.
No, I don't like the pictures of Bill Clinton being shown. I don't like the pictures of other people being shown. I think it's a terrible thing. But you probably have pictures being exposed of other people that innocently met Jeffrey Epstein years ago, many years ago, and they're, you know, highly respected bankers and lawyers and others, and they'll end up, because of guys like Massey, who's a real lowlife. Massey's a loser.
You've often referred to Bill Clinton, and you talked about his relationship with your father and how it developed, and your mother as well, and he's your brother from another mother. What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
Interesting.
He thinks of George a little bit like the father he didn't have, and he's very loving to him. And I really appreciate that. I love Bill Clinton.
May all the Democrats forgive me this close to the election. I love George Bush. I do.
It's a big club.
It bothers me that somebody's going after Bill Clinton. See, I like Bill Clinton. I still like Bill Clinton.
What do you like about him?
I liked his behavior toward me.
It's a big club. And you ain't in it.
How do I know how a Darren McBreen video is going to end?
Yeah.
Because I'm usually, I didn't see you make this, but you know, I just know how Darren McBreen video is going to end.
And I threw the Bush clips in there talking about Clinton because it is a big club and you ain't in it.
Yeah.
And during the time, those clips with George Bush talking about how he loved Bill Clinton. Remember, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh or anybody at the time, they were just rival enemies. The Bushes and the Clintons were supposed to hate each other.
Yeah.
And that's how most people really thought what was going on. But no, behind the scenes, they vacationed together, business partners, and like they said, a love for one another.
Well, the real enemy was Ross Perot in that election.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we're supposed to have two-party system here. We're supposed to have a Bush and a Clinton running against each other. Now we got this third guy. Let's send a hit team over to scare his kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think they went to a wedding or something. There's some incident that happened at a wedding. And, you know, and so these guys, either one's going to win. And in 2016, it's supposed to be Bush versus Hillary, Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen because Trump came in and screwed up the whole thing.
But now here we have Trump acting just like them. I mean, he's saying the same things, and it's just,
And the only reason I could see him doing that, I think he's looking at the office of the presidency, and we're supposed to have, you know, he sees the office of the presidency as a high thing.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see it as, oh, most of these people are low-life criminals, you know, who get promoted into this position to be controlled. And he looks at it differently. I don't know why he says he's friends with Bill. Maybe he's saying that because when the hammer drops, he's like, well, I said I liked him. I don't want anything to happen to this guy. And I'm so sorry they're frog marching him into, you know, we saw that, Prince Andrew got arrested this morning. Did you see that?
I'm glad to see that. Why won't it happen here?
Yeah.
I mean, zero arrest. And it just, and not just the Epstein files, the people in the Epstein files that need to be arrested. What about the Russian collusion hoax? Any arrest? What about the January 6th persecutions and that whole witch hunt and how they set up so many people and sent them to prison? Nobody's been investigated or nobody's going to prison with that. There's nobody being arrested for the 2020 election.
Right.
What's going on in Minnesota with all the money laundering, with the illegals?
Oh, they did get one arrest finally.
Oh,
she was trying to flee the country.
Yeah.
One of the ladies for... She didn't have a Learing Center. She had a Learning Center.
Yeah.
And they arrested her trying to flee to the UK.
Okay, I'm going to put one.
So there's one arrest. You can put one.
Let's do one
low-level arrest
on Minnesota.
Somalian daycares.
All right.
Yeah.
What about COVID? Fauci in jail?
No, supposedly there's an investigation.
Yeah. I can't answer any questions.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing investigation. Nobody arrested in the Doge findings.
No. I mean, yeah, there's been a, it's been light on arrests, but we have seen anytime they try to bring something up, it magically goes to some leftist judge who's like,
that's true too.
Demtards don't do anything wrong. We have to release these good people.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, it's like, so they're really up against, or they have to get rid of the judges. That's what Bukele did. He said he went and impeached the judges that were political hacks that weren't there looking at the law. And this is the problem. You have, so take Alex's bankruptcy. You know, Judge Lopez, he was a fair guy.
That's this is a good example.
He looked at things and said, all right, I'm going to judge it like this. I'm going to judge it like that. He says he never read anything in the news. He just looked at what was brought to him in this case. He's like, I never read anything in the news. And I was there in one of these hearings, and he seemed to be a stand-up guy. But then you got, you know, Judge Gamble here in Texas, and then the other judge up in Judge Laser Eyes up in Connecticut. Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, you want to have discovery? No, we're going to default you. Oh, yeah. No discovery for you. You don't get to ask questions. You have to sit there and take what we say.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to him. So you have to get rid of these activist judges.
Absolutely. Yeah, the system is rigged. Well, that does make a lot of sense, but I still think there would be some arrest. You look at Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, and just the lack of, I mean, they've done nothing. Nothing but this.
Well, I mean, you know? Cash is traveling around with the international country sensation.
Yeah. So. Oh, he went on the Bongino show, I think, yesterday.
Yeah. I don't think anything.
They didn't even bring up Epstein files.
Right.
It was just so, what a disappointment to see Dan Bongino. Of course, you kind of suspected this would happen from the get-go. I thought he might go in there and get shit done.
That's a guy that's all, you know, he's a Secret Service agent. He's kind of a guy that's been in the system.
Mm-hmm.
You really need somebody who has total disdain for the system. He might talk like he has disdain for the system, but the only reason is because he was a little bit to the right leaning and he was working for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll probably make you kind of be pissed off at the system, but not like a visceral hatred for what's going on. He still is probably, I think the system's good. I think we got to have... You know, I do notice Cash's eyes are getting less cross-eyed. So something's happening. Maybe they're giving him a little bit of that microwave generator, the discombobulator. I don't know, but they're not as cross-eyed as they were before. He's just got one. He's got that left, his left eye is pointing inward just a little bit.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go to this. We got about 11 minutes left. Let's go. This is a report on Sequoia and Dominion voting machines. This stuff has been known forever that these machines can't be trusted.
Forever.
This is clip 13. Dan, let's go to it now, and then we'll come back and discuss it.
Antonio Mujica and his partner Alfredo Anzola received a small business loan from the Venezuelan government only months before the recall election. These corporate registration documents from Venezuela show the Venezuelan government owned 28% of the stock of another company they started, Bizta, which adapted voting software for the Smartmatic machines in the 2004 elections. The same document shows a Chavez government minister, Omar Montillo, was on the board of directors. The Chavez government gave Bizta, Smartmatic, and another company a $91 million contract to run voting machines for the 2004 election. The next year, the owners of Smartmatic, primarily owned by Venezuelan businessmen, bought Sequoia, one of the top electronic voting system companies in the United States, for $16 million. Smartmatic is a labyrinth of international holding companies owned by Venezuelan businessmen. Smartmatic Group NV of Curaçao, Netherlands Antilles owns Smartmatic International BV of Amsterdam, Netherlands, owns Smartmatic Corporation of Florida, which bought Sequoia Voting Systems of California, USA. When Smartmatic bought the U.S. voting machine companies, the U.S. government did not review the sale. Many experts say those voting machines were manipulated in Venezuela to give President Hugo Chavez a victory. Exit polls done by the U.S. firm Penn Schoen in Berlin had Chavez losing 41% to 59%. But the next day, Chavez declared victory, reversing the score, saying he won 59% of the vote.
Everything was computed in the favor of the government. So the only explanation is that the Smartmatic machines had been programmed in that way.
A Harvard mathematician crunched the numbers on the Venezuelan election.
It had to be the Smartmatic system. All these machines talk to a central computer and report on their results. And in that mechanism, as they communicate with the central machine can report anything.
Smartmatic is technically based in Boca Raton, Florida, but the president of the company, Jack Blaine, testified to the Chicago City Council. Fewer than a dozen Smartmatic Democratic employees work in Florida. The majority of the workers are based in Venezuela.
Oh, but there's no Venezuelan connection to the elections. Remember? Remember 2020? Yeah. Oh, what are you talking about? And there's CNN reporting on it because CNN thinks you had the memory of a goldfish. And I just love, you know, we had Bev Harris on many years.
I was trying to think of her name.
Yeah, Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.com. And what she talks about with these election voting machines is called fraction magic. There's a little keyword. Fraction magic, go look that up. And basically they'll take one vote and they'll cut it up into like 10 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you have all these subvotes and then you can just move subvotes around. So you're not moving a vote around. You're moving a subvote underneath
it. That's right.
And then by doing that, you can change it by 3 to 5%, which is really all you need to do to change the outcome of an election is just change it by 3 to 5%.
And she went and tested these voting machines over and over again in front of people that didn't think there, it was possible to be hacked, and then showed them how easily they could be hacked and do just what you were saying. Turn one vote, turn it around and make it 10 votes for the other guy.
Right.
And we know this has been happening since Bev Harris, and that was a long time ago too.
Sure. You look at, so in the 2000 election, it was, Florida that had the hanging chads.
That's
and then in 2004, there was problems in Ohio.
Yeah.
So it was like, because they probably only need to steal one state.
That's it.
To get those, to get the results they wanted.
Yep.
And then
one or
when,
two.
And then Trump wins and they're like, I think they didn't think Trump had a chance.
Yep.
He wins in overwhelming fashion.
They rigged that against him in 2016.
Right.
He overwhelmingly won.
Right. So then 2020 comes, they're like, oh, we got to pull out all the stops. He's going to win big. And so they had to go to like five different areas and go in and just manipulate the situation, but they had already built the systems to do that. They already had the voting machines in place.
Yeah.
They already had the scantrons ready to go. They had the ballots that they need. They're getting printed up in China and being sent here. We had people testify against that. They were shipping, votes from New York. They were picking them up in New York, bringing them to Pennsylvania. So you had all this, these things going on and there was no, of course, you know, they had their mouthpieces going, no, this is the most secure election ever. Yeah. Nothing happened. So it's kind of amazing that, you know, we're still talking about the 2020 election when we should have had investigations, we should have had accountability, and if we don't get that,
I'm so used to this,
it's going to be the same as before.
Yeah, nobody goes to jail. Well, you think it might happen again? I mean, nobody's been held accountable.
No,
maybe they'll just keep doing it.
Exactly. Hey, let's go to clip 10. This is they've been stealing elections for years. Is that the same clip? Okay. That is the same clip. We've shown this, but let's show the ballots, number 11, the ballots being scanned several times. You got to see this one, McBreen.
All right.
See that little bubble right there.
Notice the little bubble on the left-hand side, lower left.
Another image.
Oh, look.
Exactly same. And the batch number?
Batch number 235, image number 92.
Yeah.
Matches the same scanner, 5162. Batch 234, image 33.
Oh.
So there you have it. Duplicate ballots. The entire batch is scanned several times.
And it's a Democrat winning. And I noticed it wasn't a Trump voter that was scanned several times. They managed to
move
those.
But we've seen videos like this again and again, year after year after year. So the proof is out there. Now, what is Trump doing right now? Isn't he doing something to get rid of electronic voting and paper?
No, he's got the Board of Peace. He's worried about world peace. He's worried more about the rest of the world than what's going on in his country because they haven't done enough. There was a raid in Fulton County, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to see some results from that. I mean, how long does it take? Like I said, like that video we showed you was old. The video on Smartmatic was old.
Yeah.
Here's one from, this is clip 12 during the 2020 election. Like almost 100% of the people vote. This gets a little mathy. I may pull out of it earlier than it is, about a minute 31, but let's go to that clip right now.
So this is who's an eligible voter in Pennsylvania District 4, about 550,000 people. Well, here's who's registered to vote in Pennsylvania District 4. And when I showed this to the Board of Elections people and the legislature in Pennsylvania, they all said, what? No, that can't be right. It should only be 60 or 70% of the people registered. Yeah. 98%, nearly everybody's registered, and they didn't even know it. This is who supposedly voted in Pennsylvania District 4. And whenever I show this to people, they say, gee, Dr. Frank, from about 50 years up, those curves look really a lot alike. The red curve just looks a little smaller than the black curve. What's up with that? Yeah, I agree. It's something's wrong with that, huh? In fact, if I multiply the black curve by 86%, you notice it superimposes right on the red curve real pretty well, huh? It's surprisingly well. So as a scientist, I know something called the correlation coefficient, this R number. If a correlation coefficient is 1, then that means it's a perfect correlation. It means one set of data predicts another set of data perfectly. If the correlation, if it's R is 0, that means it's completely random versus each other. So anytime you have a correlation coefficient near 1, which this is, that's not natural. It's something that's going on that's making the two agree with each other. In medicine, in anything to deal with people, if you get correlation coefficients in 0.7, 0.8 range, you're doing amazingly well. In physics, if you're between 0.8 and 0.9, you're doing amazing. To get 0.99, that ain't natural, buddy.
Yeah, that ain't natural. 0.99. So, well, you know, when he says you get 1, you're definitely having manipulation. When it gets 0, it's more random, and they're like 0.99.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's the fraud jump.
Now, what's the Stalin quote? He who counts the votes, or it doesn't matter who counts the votes, or it
doesn't matter who votes.
It matters who counts the votes.
Right.
And that's what we're saying again and again. Let me ask you something. Do you think that, like, with the release of the Epstein files, and then we see videos like this where we absolutely know that the voting system is completely corrupted, and it just gets to the point where we won the info war, okay? I say we won the info war because the information is out there. But nothing's being done about it.
Right. That's to demoralize people.
And I think it is a giant psyop, like a demoralizing type of program where you get all this information released on Epstein. We're being run by satanic baby-eating pedophiles. I mean, it's crazy, right? Yeah. And then you can't do anything about it. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. Is that part of the big design?
Well, I don't know what the big design is, but I say we have to just reach the pedo tolerance level of all the normies out there, and eventually we hit it. And when we do hit it, things are going to happen. And what it's not going to be, I don't think law enforcement is going to do anything. It's going to be somebody on the inside that's either going to whistleblow or drop the load, the mother load of documents, sort of like what Seth Rich did. You know, he paid for his life. By, you know, putting out all those Podesta emails.
And there are people that are willing to do that.
And we still don't have clarity on Seth
Rich. When you see these videos and things, you know, and when you see what's going on, the proof is there. You can't just go home and just let it happen.
Right.
We can't be ruled by these people. It's got to end. It's got to stop.
Yeah, we got another clip. I'm not going to go to it. But, you know, he said there was 229 ballots were from deceased voters. This is in Detroit. And 2,600 ballots had invalid addresses that led to vacant lots and burnout houses.
Yeah.
And we saw that Nick Shirley was going around to places. There's like, hey, there's 100 people living here. Yeah. You know, and there's some guys out in Georgia who are going to an abandoned house. There's 90-something people registered there at this house that has, you know, broken windows, mattresses out front, overgrown with weeds. Nobody's lived in this house for years.
Yeah.
Yet they're saying, oh, no, this is all normal. And so we've broken through with that. There is going to be by them slow walking this stuff and taking a long time, it's going to lead to a demoralizing of people who just want instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Patience, Yoda says. Must have patience. That's what we have to do.
Patience.
I know. It's going to happen, though. I think we're going to, they're going to get it. They're going to get it from the authorities. Our life's going to get them. That's what's going to happen. Life is going to catch up to these people.
Yeah.
So with that, Alex Jones Show coming up next. Thanks for watching. We'll see you later on the American Journal.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like to say, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. Look at theolivesholestore.com.